someone ate the baby. It's rather sad to say. Someone ate the baby. So she won't be out to play. We'll never hear her whiny cry or have to feel if she is dry. We'll never hear her asking, why? Someone ate the baby. Someone ate the baby. It is absolutely clear. Someone ate the baby because the baby isn't here. We'll give away her toys and clothes. And we'll never have to wipe her nose. Dad says, that's the way it goes. Someone ate the baby. Someone ate the baby. What a frightful thing to eat. Someone ate the baby. Though she wasn't very sweet. It was a heartless thing to do. The policemen haven't got a clue. I simply can't imagine who would go and eat the baby.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
To go to the woodcock thing, or until we got into the We Are the World and realized there was no way out of that. We sort of soundbited ourselves into a corner there. There was no escape. All right. Hello, it's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour for Scotty's. Scotty's a big fan. They should have that was awesome. And all caps. Thank you, Scotty. It's, let's see, 18 minutes after the hour, no, something in the 4 and then the 11. Hi there. In the year of our Lord, 2007, live from the partially appointed yet not really ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by, making it fun of your listening day. It is Friday, my friend. Welcome to day 12. It is Friday, Friday. Friday is your favorite day. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program. It's 503-733-2970 with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Are you riding a tilt-a-whirl over there?
I don't know what's going on with this chair.
See, that's the same. See, that is the same
this
thing.
Is
that
so
was,
weird.
That's what was going on with my chair yesterday, and you were laughing. You were laughing at me. Here's what's happening. So, okay, these new chairs. Now, let me see if it's that you're in.
Am I in your chair?
You're in my chair
I
from
hate
yesterday.
This chair. I'm yeah. leaning forward.
Yeah, that chair sucks.
All right, you go to the bathroom during break.
There's, we've got 3 chairs and a stool in this studio. Sounds like a band. I wear 3 chairs and a stool. For three Jacks and a Jill, we're consulting. We've got three chairs and a stool in here, and this happens probably at your work. This is not a thing that is exclusive to radio stations. This phenomenon does not exist solely within the communications industry. This probably happens wherever you work. There's probably one guy in your office that's got a chair that's either much better or much worse than everybody else, and that chair just gets passed around like a thing inside a thing. It gets passed around just like an apple bong at a frat party. And so what happens is somebody will have the bad chair, and it's like a bad penny you just can't get rid of. And so what do? You wait till somebody goes home or somebody goes on his lunch break or somebody's off having an episiotomy done, and then you swap out the chair when they're not looking. They come back, bam, they've got the bad chair. Sometimes it's not that there's a bad chair. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes there's a bad chair that you were trying to foist off onto others when they're gone. Sometimes is that there's something that's better. Have you ever had, like, you're in a whole office and there's one stapler that works better than all the other staplers? There's one coffee mug that keeps things hotter than all the other coffee mugs. There's one typewriter. Back when we used typewriters, there'd be one typewriter that was a lot more efficient. So what do you do? When somebody's not around, you go and you steal the good stapler. Because often the staplers are cosmetically identical. It's just that one functions a lot better than the other. This is relatable but dull, so I'm going to move on. The point is that Sarah has got this chair that I had yesterday, and I damn near killed myself. I almost broke my neck in that thing a couple times yesterday. This chair is just like Quint's chair on the Orca in Jaws, where you can lean all the way back until you're almost completely parallel to the ground. Keith, get behind me. Whip my reels.
But it also leans you forward.
Exactly.
Like at a 45-degree angle forward.
It's like a chair that doesn't... It's like a chair with scoliosis or something. The chair just bends all the way around.
Oh, look at that. Seth McGinley.
Look at that. I need only complain if one of the engineers comes in to swap out the chairs.
God bless you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Hey, give that one to someone who's displeased us. There you go. Thank you.
That was really nice. Now I feel guilty.
We'll leave it here then to leave it on Saturday morning.
Yeah, we'll put them in Dennis's office. Fantastic. Thank you. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Program. It's Friday. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to join us for whatever today. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, what's coming up? Well, we'll do introductions and all of that here in just a second. Today we got Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us. Apparently there was, and I feel like a tool for missing this. And I don't even know, all I saw from the presidential debate last night, or the Democratic debate, is that what it was?
It was the MSNBC debate that nobody saw unless you were watching MSNBC at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
See, it's not, but
so by the time you get home, it was over with.
Was it a real debate?
It was. I do have some sound from it.
All right. Well, so there you go. Are the debates starting earlier than they used to? Is that the deal?
Primaries are starting earlier than usual.
Is that why we're having a debate when it seems like the election is about 40 years away?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I didn't see that. The only thing, all I know about the debate is just I heard some coverage of it this morning, and then I saw some clips on the interwebs, and that's all I know.
Well, we have more coming.
All right. So when we talk to Lisa Goddard, I'm not going to pretend to know more than I do, because she would see right through me as though I were made out of cellophane. So I'm just going to have to go with what I know. So there was that there yesterday. And Dennis Kucinich was there, right?
Yep, we got some sound from him, too.
Boy, what a nitwit that guy is.
And some guy, former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel, who's running.
Okay.
President Gravel.
You know... I'm sorry. I just whacked into the microphone. President Gravel.
He would be President Gravel.
President Husk. We could do a whole show. If we were an idiot morning show, which we kind of are, we're just later in the day. Really, the only thing that saves us from being an idiot morning show is that we're not technically on in the morning for most of the day. Most of, three quarters of this program happens in the afternoon, or really, we would be an idiot morning show. Let's just call it what it is, huh? If we were a moronic, tedious morning show, I could do 3 hours on that. Silly names for potential presidents, like President Gravel and President Husk. Okay. Hey, well, in any event... So I saw Kucinich. Do you suppose that in some corner of, and I'm going to ask Lisa Goddard this, in some corner in Kucinich's head, which I say because A, it's interesting, and B, because people in Portland like that guy, in some corner of Kucinich's brain, he thinks that he could win, like he thinks that he has some chance of being elected to something? That guy just makes no sense at all. Just a big light bulb shaped skull he's got, too. Just a weird head. You guys, if you guys watch The Shield, you know what he looks like. He looks just like, what's his name? Is it Billings? That guy who was the chief before Claudette and is now Dutch Wagenbach's partner, he looks just like that guy. The guy that put the camera up in the locker room and was watching the hot Latin girl change. That's exactly what Dennis Kucinich looks like. And by the way, let me just say this about the Shield. I say, digging myself in ever deeper on this path that is the furthest thing from beaten you could possibly imagine. I don't know why it is that they would air The Shield. You know, I'm a big fan of The Shield, which is one of the best programs in the last 20 years of television, and one of the best three programs on the air right now anywhere. Apparently, season 6 of The Shield, which I am busy watching right now, one episode at a time, the way the television is supposed to be watched, apparently the whole thing has already aired in France. Why would season 6 of an American television program already have aired in its entirety in France? And I know that it's already aired in France because I've had several emails from people saying, did you know The Shield already aired all the way through in France? I've got it on DVD. I can send it to you. And I think I'll take those people up on that offer. That doesn't make any sense, though, that The Shield, which is an American program that airs on FX, would already have aired all the way through in France. It's just mystifying. I'm going to work my way back. Shield, Dutch Wagenbach's partner, Dennis Kucinich, debate last night, Lisa Goddard back. And here we are back on the highway. So Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, we'll talk to Jim Roop as well. Scott Daly is going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. We will resume our hunt for what we are now calling the second worst story in the history of the world. I got two strong competitors today. I got two strong candidates for this. Second worst story in the history of the world. We will resume our competition for that. I'm going to read you, later on, I'll read you this story, which isn't quite good enough. This story isn't quite good enough to be in competition for the worst story in the history of the world, but it's pretty horrific nonetheless. I'll read this to you just so you can get an idea of how strong the competition really is, though, just so you're aware. And we'll talk to Scotty J about upcoming guests, including Nellie Olson and Alice Cooper, who might actually be on the show on the same day. Really, if all things come together correctly, and frequently they do not.
Are either of them in the studio?
I think we might be able to get that Nellie Olson chick. I got to figure out her real name. Alison
my
Ingram.
My mom would die.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
If we were able to interview Alison Ingram, TV's Nellie Olson?
I think so.
Here's the thing, and Scotty, and I'm telling you right now, here's the thing, Scotty. If you can get Alison Ingram, TV's Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie, if you can get her on the show next Friday, here's the thing. You will have not only impressed myself, Tim, Sarah, Sarah's mom, you will have impressed Lisa Goddard, because what I'll do is we'll schedule Lisa at exactly the right time so we can conference call Lisa Goddard, who is apparently a huge Little House on the Prairie fan. We will conference call Lisa with TV's Nellie Olson. And then Lisa will love it.
TV's Nellie Olson.
TV's Nellie Olson. I'm going to see that show, by the way.
Really?
The Nellie Olson thing? Yeah. I would totally go if I didn't already have tickets for Carlin. I mean, come on. How can you not? It's Nellie Olson doing a thing called Prairie Bitch. How can you not go see it?
That does sound pretty rad, actually.
I would absolutely go if I was not going to see George Carlin.
And you're I could probably do both because I'm going to the Roseland, which is right up the street from CeCe Slaughter's.
Right. You're going to see what, Against Me?
Yeah, Against Me and Cursive and Mastodon.
What time is the Nellie Olson thing is at 9. What time is it? Yeah, what time
but
is
it? There's another performer, so she may be on before her.
Elizabeth Heath.
I don't know who she is.
Yeah, see, in the
I'm not familiar.
And the Carlin thing is at 9, too, with the Schnitzer, and there's just no way that I can do both of those. And I gotta throw my support behind George Carlin. I mean, what are you going to do? So that sucks. Well, in any event, but we might be able to get her in the studio or at least on the phone. So we'll check in with Scotty later on that. Also, try to throw some other no-names at me here, guest-wise. We'll talk more about that here in a few. It's 503-733-2970. We've got calls already for no apparent reason that we'll get to. We're joined today, as always,
How you doing?
Hi. I talk for a living. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. You're looking very tropical today.
Tropical?
I barely knew her. You look like kind of, it's like a Gilligan's Island kind of thing you got there. Tim, help me out here. Tropical?
Very much so. Very summer-like.
That's what I'm saying. It's not an insult.
It makes me want to hear the Pina Colada song.
Yes. Makes me want to sway back and forth majestically to the warm, mellow sounds of Mr. Rupert Holmes.
Oh, it's nice and sunny, and it was. I love riding my bike when you like in skirts and stuff. Like you just wear leggings, and it's so much more freeing than actually wearing jeans.
Like an advertisement for the fun chips.
You ride your bike with in your dress in a skirt.
Yeah, I have leggings on.
That's so great. Because when you do it, when you say that, all I hear in my head is that dun 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 dun. Okay.
And also, I think I'm wearing like a bunchy like diaper dress because I have to.
Bunchy diaper dress.
Because I'm trying to keep it down as I'm riding.
Well, it's supposed to be 70 degrees today anyway. A bunchy diaper dress.
Fantastic.
Seriously. I went and I bought my husband a bunchy diaper dress, and he totally loved the...
So did you ride today? You want to ride home together?
Why do you ask me questions you already know the answer to?
Why do you not just... You totally developed a mental block about it.
Can I tell you, I sat and I ate a whole one of those big bags of Chex Mix last night in my office, too, with the door shut to hide my shame. I sat in front of my computer last night doing some late work here, and somebody, can I just tell you this, and then we'll talk about what's going on with the news, and then we'll get these calls. At the listener party, we pointed out this guy, is it Eric, the guy who stocks the vending machine?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was being kind of jokey. I'm like, sir, I blame you for my massive gut, you know, I blame you for hooking me on chocolate Chex Mix. Somebody gave us, and they're sealed, so don't worry. It's not like... There is a phrase at radio stations sometimes where they'll refer to listener food. And you'll see food sitting out, like, you know, outside a studio and be like, well, I don't know, is this listener food? Because sometimes you get listener food that looks a little skeezy. But this is all sealed. But somebody left us like 15 of the big bags of that chocolate chip.
And by us, you mean you, because you're the only one who's eaten it, right?
Sitting up in my office. So I sat last night and had one of those big bags of chocolate Chex Mix just all myself. And I swear to God, I got out of my chair and I shut the office door so no one would see. It's like back in the old days, you'd be at a radio station and somebody would shut their office door and then you would just hear a lot of chopping and snorting sounds. This is me. I shut my office door. If you've been listening, I can't simulate it. But if you've been listening, you just would have heard like a... As I was like opening, and that telltale sound of pulling open a sealed bag of snack food. And then just a little... and I just sat and ate the entire thing. There are times, and I know this makes me sound like a real, you know, I know this makes me sound like a terrible, weird person, but I really do. There are times I wish I was bulimic, really, just because you can sort of see, kids, bulimia is not good, but there are times you can see the appeal of bulimia. You really can. Because I sat and I finished the entire bag.
And you just want it immediately out of your body?
Yeah, and I know this whole thing makes me sound like a woman.
You would totally have an eating disorder.
Have an eating disorder.
You know what? Eating disorders don't necessarily mean that you're starving yourself. It means that mentally you're kind of messed up about food.
It's not that I just eat
bad. You totally are. Because all you do is sit there and count calories and bitch and complain about food. And you can't stop shoveling it in your face.
I don't... Saying I have an eating disorder makes it sound like I'm that, it makes it sound like I'm that idiot kid from Silverchair who was always writing songs about anorexia. You know who I'm talking about.
I remember that guy.
So, I don't want to, I'm just saying. I ate the entire bag of Chex Mix, and I swear to God, and you know when you eat it, you know you have that guilt. You finish it, and you're like, oh God, I shouldn't have eaten that. The hell. You know, and then you just feel, and then you're like, and then what did I do? This does make me sound, God damn, I sound like a girl sometimes.
Sound like a girl all the time.
I look at the back of the bag.
Do you hear Tim and I bitching about our weight?
No, because you just, because you're not disgusting like I am. I'm so excited. And I pick up the back of the bag and I look at it because it's like I wanted to know how many calories. And you know that where it's like you don't want to know, but you have to know. I pick up the back of the bag, it's like 750 calories. And at that point, I'm like, oh, come on. Immediately just wanted to hurl because I just, you know, get a big fat ass, you know, and don't wish for it to get any fatter. It's like sometimes if you eat too much food, you ever do this? You eat a lot of food.
Do you get any mode of exercise? Because I know that you're just here and then you're at home. And like you just, the only possible exercise you can get is walking from your house to your car. And then from your car to your office. And then around down here and then back home.
I got some exercise the other day when I put my bike in the back of my truck and took it tuned up and then drove it home and took it out of the back of the truck and put it in the garage. I do have to start bicycling. I really do. I'm in no position to make fun of Scotty J for not smoking or for not quitting smoking when I actually don't bicycle. So, you know, what are you going to do? But enough about me. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, Alec Baldwin appears on The View and defends his words to his little pig. Emerson's producer Bernie defends his utterances on Hannity and Combs. A mob of art lovers turned on Portland police as they donned riot gear to try to break up their street party last night. And it's every Oregonian's worst nightmare, A log truck, not necessarily spilling its load on your car, but dumping its load on your home and almost crushing you to death.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, and by fantastic, I mean terrible.
All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. We have these calls to get here in a second. So we got all that. We got Lisa Goddard coming up. Jim Roop, who I guess was supposed to be on Nancy Grace last night, but I don't know if it happened or not. So we'll ask him about that. Let's see. We have a big announcement about George Carlin, too. It's not the, sadly, it is not a confirmation of the interview, because I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
When do you find out?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, because that's actually not something that Scotty is doing. That's actually being booked through the person, because he's being at the Schnitzer, and we're at the front of the show, and so that's being handled between the upstairs folks, between the sales department and the Schnitzer. So I don't really know the answer, but hopefully soon. But we have a giveaway announcement, because we're going to be giving away some stuff for the Carlin show. So we have a big giveaway announcement. We'll make that probably the next hour or so. All right, it's 503-733-2970. And then we got to talk about, I got this this resume from some guy, some kid, some dude wants to be an intern. Rick, there's a post-it note on it from Laura in Human Resources. Rick, from Career Fair, student interested in internship on AM 970. I'm always curious, by the way, and it doesn't say how old he is, and I guess I'm not allowed to ask that. And I don't think you are. I don't think you're.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
Are they religious?
You're not allowed to ask what?
I'm not allowed to ask how. What? This is Paul.
Unless you know, Lou Grant interviewed Mary Tyler Moore in 1970.
Oh, is that his resume?
I never spunked.
I was going to say, is there Mr. Grant?
Oh, no, I screwed it up.
I screwed up the joke. Oh, never mind. Is there Mr. Richards? I guess you can't ask any of that. Well, I was just going to say, and note that Paul, I am not asking how old, he's not even in the room. I'm just saying on this resume, it doesn't say his age, which is fine, because he can be any age he wants, and he can worship at the church of his choice, or none at all.
Yes.
Rick Emerson embraces diversity and privacy in the workplace. I'm just saying, you know, it's always curious to me when it says, when I get these resumes, and it's like, student interested in internship on AM 970. And I was wondering if that's really true, or if it was like, he was interested in an internship on KUFO, but they weren't hiring it, so they just kicked him over to us.
Or he was one of the big jocks in 1975 on KGW.
That's the thing. There's really only two schools here. There's he's either 18 years of age and is like some weird debate team freak, or he's like 80. You know, he's like a Dave Paul type.
Nobody could possibly be older than Scotty J.
No, the thing is, if we get this intern, he will actually be underneath Scotty. Scotty will actually have someone to boss around, and that's either going to be great or terrible.
That's like getting the older dog in your family a puppy. I don't know if he can handle it.
That's like that onion thing.
It worked in my house.
What's that onion story the other day? A seeing-eye dog gets a seeing-eye squirrel. So Paul would be the seeing-eye squirrel to Scotty's aging seeing-eye dog. All right, it's 503-733-270. Let me do these, and then we'll break here. Hi there. You have an American Idol comment for some godforsaken reason.
Yeah, it's Jesse. I called and started the whole crap about it yesterday.
Oh, about it was you were pointing out that they were raising money for whatever, and then we just immediately flew into an apoplectic rage that they're not raising money for Americans.
Yeah. And it's up to 60 million now.
Well, that's great. 60 million, you could probably buy like all of Antarctica with that.
What the hell is the deal? Yeah. Is American kids not good enough?
That's exactly. I'm going to start that's going to be the name of our charity. Are American kids not good enough, you bastards?
All right, guys, have a good day and keep me entertained.
I don't even know what the last line of that call said. You know, because that's one of the things we got to do, and I realize that I'm throwing out so much material we'll never get to today. That's one of the other things we have to do on the show one of these days. We have to come up with our own, our sort of pet charity. Not for the station, but just for this show. Not that because we're going to be raising money for charity anytime soon, because screw them. I'm just saying, but at some point, CBS will force us to do something good for the community, and we need to figure out where that's going to go. So please don't call in now with your suggestions. I'm just saying at some point, we on the show will have to come up with a charity that we want as our default, you know, proceeds will benefit, blah, 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 blah. Because otherwise, they'll take it and give us to, you know, give it to, like, homeless teenagers. And I'm opposed to that. So, what's that, Tim? Your microphone is off.
I'd rather drop bags of rice on poor people.
That should be our charity.
In an oven?
Cat-
catapulting rice at the poor.
Proceeds will benefit catapulting rice at the poor. The Rick Emerson Show's preferred charity. All right, let's see. Get a couple of the. Hi, Maurice. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Hi, dogs.
What's up?
Hey, it's gonna sound a little cheesy, but this is what I came up with.
Here's the thing. It sounds like you're speaking through a sock.
I'm on a really crappy work phone.
Okay. Well. Go ahead then.
If you were here in Portland, this is what you would see.
I'm what? I don't understand.
The opening line for the theme song?
Oh, the opening line for the song.
If you are here in Portland, this is what you will see.
If you are here in Portland, this is what you will see. And then the rest of the song, of course, will be a listing of Portland features.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea at all. I would say that because the rest of the entries have been terrible, that's actually one of the best entries we've gotten so far.
Well, thanks. I'm glad I've been able to contribute.
Well, good to go. Thank you.
All right,
thank you. Boy, seriously, what... What kind of phone was he talking through? Talking through one of those huge phones.
Was it one of those construction site phones?
Well, or just one of those phones the size of a shoe that World War II, like prison guards used to carry around? All right. And finally, Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey, so I got a story, worst story ever for you.
See, this has become a rather disturbing trend on the program that we start off each day's show with everybody calling up to tell us something horrifying. All right, go ahead.
You get a kick out of this.
I
was working at a call center in Eugene, Oregon a couple years ago.
Okay.
And you know the variety of people that live in Eugene, so you can imagine the variety of people that work at a call center.
Yes.
So anyway, this guy, you get paid, the more surveys you complete in an hour, you know, the more money you made. One guy showed up to work every day wearing a wetsuit. In a full-body wetsuit.
That
pretty much allowed him to not have to take a break at any point during the day.
Oh, no, I didn't see it going that way. Really?
No. So, anyway, end of the shift, you know, I walked into the bathroom. The guy was in the bathroom. I know you're thinking I'm going to say he's unloading his wetsuit.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Much worse. Anyway, okay, so you can imagine on a warm summer day wearing a wetsuit, the condensation on your body... filled up, and literally this guy had a layer of mold going on his body. So he was in the restroom with his wetsuit down to his waist, shaving the mold off of his body.
Shaving the mold off of his body. Think about really the twists and turns conversationally you would have to take from any point in an average sort of dialogue exchange to get to the phrase, shaving the mold off his body.
Exactly.
And yet you did it in about 25 seconds. Well done. That is pretty terrible. God bless you.
I figured your listeners would get a kick out of that.
Well, you know our audience all too well, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Shaving the mold off his body. That's going to be our new liner. Shaving the mold off his body. Weekdays, Rick Emerson. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. I don't think we have time to do much else here. Probably not. All right, you can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up. We got Lisa Goddard around the corner. Later on, Jim Roop, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, our hunt for the worst story in the history of the world. We'll do our top five. We have Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio coming up, and we are still searching for... I ought to just maybe put in a large pile and then sift through the all of the opening line suggestions for opening line to the Portland Anthem, which are... I mean, I'll say it. They're all pretty bad. Not that I've come up with anything better, though. No, I just got to be honest. I haven't come up with anything better or at all. I have nothing. So, I mean, all of the flag and dragon, moon, June, spoon, maroon, you know, rhymes that have come in are still way better than anything I've come up with. Because I've come up with exactly a squat. So, all right. Well, let's break here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues around the corner with Lisa Goddard. Stay there. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Scott is expressing a lot of interest in seeing the resume of this guy who wants to be an intern.
I kind of want to see it, too.
Somebody feels threatened. You know, he'll work for less.
You are mean.
That's true. There's always someone younger and hungrier, Scotty.
especially the younger part. I mean, that almost goes without saying. Bam! All right. This email says, Rick, about your pet charity. That caller said, and I'm quoting, is American Kids not good enough? End quote. That should be the charity name, Rick. Is American Kids not good enough? And all the money can go to English books and Slim Jims. Love the show, Matt. Thank you, sir. That's a fantastic idea. How about this? Rick, my husband donates $120 a year directly from his paycheck to Helping Hands Monkeys. They are like service dogs for the infirm, but they're monkeys. They're service monkeys. That's fantastic. Helping Hands Monkeys. It's like a guide dog.
Helping monkey hands?
No. They train monkeys to help the infirm. There's a website.
That's already an idea, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, but we should donate money to them. All proceeds will be donated to Helping Hand Monkeys. Monkeys for the infirm. That's a great idea. All right, there you go. Oh, how about this? Rick, how about some sort of agency that helps drugged out women with treatment in exchange for sterilization? Okay, I'd be in favor of that. Give us your ovaries. We'll give you some treatment. All right. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get Lisa Goddard here in, okay. Right? All right. Really? Okay. So we've got all of this stuff. It's like just a big freight train full of information and things and whatnot coming down a path of... All my analogies are failing me today.
Yeah,
it's like I left them at home. They're at home in the metaphor drawer.
Too much coffee or too little?
Underneath the microwave next to the diesel batteries. What?
Too much coffee today or too little?
I think too little. I think I got to caffeine up here. It's time to caffeine up, which is like musking up, but it's with caffeine.
Yeah, you're right. It's not working today.
That smells like pure gasoline. Welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
We're doing okay. We're doing fantastic. Sarah's fantastic. Tim is wonderful. I myself am a little under-caffeinated at the moment, but, we're going to remedy that in a little while. So.
Yeah, caffeine is delightful. It's true. But, are you a whatnot person? I just caught that whatnot that you threw out there.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people are opposed to that. Don and Mike in particular.
Well, it's a Don and Mike thing. Yeah, exactly.
I think they actually ban people from the show for saying whatnot. I think if you call up and you say whatnot, they put your name in the book and you're never allowed to call again.
Yeah, I think you have to be a celebrity in order, and even if you are a celebrity, then I think they still hang up on you, but you get one call back to apologize.
I don't really see, and this is another reason why the audience loves you, because you know the ins and outs of the Don and Mike show. I don't really understand the problem, or the people, and in this case, Don and Mike, have with the word whatnot. I really do think it's funny. And it sounds ever so slightly erudite. I mean, it's just, I find it, and I think I say whatnot as a good Generation Xer. And all of my knowledge of life and all my vocabulary comes from bad 80s films. I think that I say whatnot because of the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
I didn't know about this. That's in that movie?
Because there is a sequence when Randolph and Mortimer Duke are showing Eddie Murphy as Randolph Valentine, I think his name is. They are showing him around the house that they have given him after kicking out Dan Aykroyd and hiring Eddie Murphy. They're showing him around the house. And they're trying to convince him that the house now belongs to him, and he doesn't believe them.
And all the things right inside, yeah.
And they're saying, Randolph, Billy Ray, that's his name, Billy Ray Valentine. They say, William, everything in this house is yours. And he says, and he's just sort of going along, but doesn't believe them. And he says, oh, yeah, that's great. No, that's wonderful. Yeah, little curtains and whatnot. And I think that's where I got it from.
Wow.
Because there's something about the way Eddie Murphy, who, as bad as he now is at picking films and is tiresome, his comedy has sort of become, at his peak, he was a master of language. He really knew the right words to use and the right combinations, and he made the word whatnot hilarious. Are we really spending like 9 minutes talking about the word whatnot?
Apparently we are, but I will say, I feel like you have gone into the arena, you have done battle, and you have won your right to say whatnot. I myself... I don't know.
You're still working on it?
I'm still getting my arms around it. I don't know.
No, I say...
I've done Mike on this.
I don't think there's anything that we don't let people say on this program, any word that we're really opposed to, but that's one that I feel I will use with impunity. I will continue to use it bravely and boldly. Let's talk about my shame. And my shame here is that I did not watch the debate last night.
And I'm a terrible person. I know that. But I was here. I was here in my office with the door shut, eating a big bag of chocolate Chex Mix and growing fat. So I wouldn't even. So I saw some clips this morning, and I heard some recaps, and just. So I'm not going to pretend that I saw the entire thing. But were there any standout moments other than the fact that Dennis Kucinich just? Do you think that they bring him in? Just, it's like if you're fat, you sit next to a fatter person. Do you suppose that they bring in Dennis Kucinich so that the rest of them all look really balanced and normal?
That's one theory. That is one theory. But, you know, I think there is that segment of the Democratic Party that is right behind him. You know, I think that they would really make a whole lot of hay if he didn't get the chance to appear at this debate.
I suppose. I mean, let me ask you this. Not that you can see into the soul of Dennis Kucinich, but, I mean, do you suppose that that guy in his head has any reasonable, realistic thoughts that he's going to get anywhere with this? Or is it really just because he's a guy who thinks this needs to be said and he's willing to spend the money and be kicked in the teeth later on just to get on camera and say some of this stuff?
I think it's probably more the latter, but I could see him envisioning, well, perhaps now the public isn't fully on board, but I got to start somewhere, maybe down the road. They'll understand that my message is the way to go. You know, I could see maybe him thinking down the road he's got a shot, but I think right now he just feels like he has got something important to say, and he wants a national platform to say, and he wants Democratic candidates to have to hear it and to compare themselves to his message.
We've talked a lot about in the past about Harry Brown, who was the Libertarian candidate for many years, but the fact that that guy is just, whatever one thinks about the Libertarian platform and their philosophy, a lot of them are just these weird, sexless, bitter nutcases. And Harry Brown sort of is emblematic of all that, because they would ask him, I'll never forget hearing this one interview with him when he was running for the Libertarian platform for the ticket, and they said, what are you going to do your first 90 days in office? And his response was something along the lines of, I'm going to abolish the CIA, the FBI, and the IRS. And, I mean, and at that point, you could just hear sort of all over the country people mentally going, well, that's a guy I don't ever have to worry about again, because I'm never going to vote for him.
Did you also hear Mike Gravel, the senator from Alaska, the former senator from Alaska, he's the one that I think got the most attention last night.
And what is it? Is he the one, or was it Kucinich, who they asked him some question, and I forgot whatever they asked, and he immediately was like, well, we got to impeach Dick Cheney.
It was Kucinich, but they asked people to raise their hands and say if they supported that.
Right.
I don't think anyone else raised their hand. But Gravel was the guy who said when one of the first questions, if not the very first, was, do you agree with Harry Reid that the war is lost? And, you know, I think most everyone kind of hem and hawed. You never really heard what Clinton thought. They all sort of, you know, had this big gray sheen on it. And then Gravel said, basically, hell yeah, I think we lost it the day we started. So he sort of just went out there and got in people's faces.
Let me ask you this. Maybe you have access to this information at this time, and maybe you do not. But I have heard, and I will not pretend to know the answer to this, but I have heard in recent days that Harry Reid quote where he says that the war in Iraq is lost, I have heard now that was taken drastically out of context. And I don't know, and I have to say, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but I have to confess that I don't really know what the context of it was. Do we know if that was part of a larger, in other words, was there any sort of context wrapped around that would... I don't know, that they would sort of abate some of just the weird bluntness of that comment?
You know, I'm going to be honest, you know, I don't know the full context of that quote. I am looking it up right now, and I'm sorry to say that I don't know the context.
All right, because so many times...
Expose me as a fraud.
I don't know either, but I had somebody who is a guy who, he was a military dad, and he said, hey, you know, he's like, my son is in Iraq right now, and he said he feels that maybe the war is not necessarily going the way it ought to be, and he said, just so you know, the full context of Harry Reid's comments, you know, place the blame squarely on Bush for blah, 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 blah. And when it gets whittled down to that one soundbite of the war is lost, he said it really doesn't represent what he was saying. And it was one of those things, because so much of that, but otherwise the debate last night seemed very tame. In other words, they were all aligned on going after the Bush administration of the war. No, there were really no throwing of elbows at each other last night.
This is the full quote that Harry Reid said. He said, I believe myself that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you'd have to make your own decision as to what the President knows, this war is lost and the surge is not accomplishing anything, as indicated by the extreme violence in Iraq, and he made a reference yesterday. So what he was saying is, I think the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and perhaps the President all know that the war is lost.
Right. Well, okay. Well, that is
more context, but he still is asserting that the war is lost. He's not saying someone else said it. He's still making that same assertion.
And that pretty much is the same quote. Do you share the assessment that this debate last night, none of them really went after each other? It really was. Is there just sort of this gentleman's understanding right now that they got to focus all of their criticism on the Bush administration until the field gets winnowed down a little further?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's precisely what's going on. These Democrats are busy raising money. They don't want to turn off anyone who's going to give them some dollars. And in fact, right now we know many small donors are contributing to more than one campaign, whether that's Obama and Clinton or Clinton and Edwards or Edwards and Richardson. There are multiple donors, and you're not going to... So no one's going to basically try and kick the New York Yankees around or, make fun of the Red Sox because they don't want to lose any fans.
All right. And just so you know, by the way, now, I don't wish to dangle false hope, but just so you know, we are right now, and by we, I mean Scotty J. Scotty right now is endeavoring to book Alison Ingram, TV's Nellie Olson, for next Friday's Rick Emerson Show. And if we are able to do that within the right time frame, you, Lisa, got it. You, Lisa Goddard, may be here on the program at the same time that television's Nellie Olson is sitting just a few feet to my right.
That would be amazing.
Rick Emerson tries to make dreams come true, so there's no...
Well, we'll have to work it out because actually Noodles is in Monday through Thursday next week, or I think all next week, and I've got Friday off.
Well, I'm just saying.
So call in for that, for sure.
Well, there's no guarantees, but it is that we are in the initial, the tentative first steps of trying to book her right now. So,
well, that's with the CNN people that I want to be, whatever, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing.
All right. Well, we'll
get your number. We'll make sure it's taken care of.
We'll keep you apprised.
Excellent.
All right. Have a fantastic weekend. If we don't talk to you in the immediate future, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your day this weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill. Fantastic.
I love how you're trying to word it as you're doing a favor for her, but really you don't really know what to ask Nellie, so you're just waiting for Lisa Goddard.
Well, what the hell am I going to ask Nellie Olson?
Totally.
So, hi. That's, really, what's hi? So you have a mullet. There's really nothing for, there's really nothing for me to ask. Is it a little warm in here, do you think? A little hot in the studio?
I think it's fine.
I'm not asking. Okay, don't give me that look like I'm asking something else. I'm simply asking if you...
You're nuts today. It's pretty
I'm not nuts. I am just asking if you feel the temperature in the studio is maybe a shade warmer than it typically is.
Well, I usually wear a sweatshirt, and I'm not right now, so it must be a little warmer.
There's no need to go psychoanalyzing me, Peter Carlin. Scotty J. Scotty J, who gave me the number for his shrink and is now insisting that I call. So, all right. It's 503, which is... I'm not opposed. I'm just saying the last time I called a shrink that I didn't thoroughly vet, I ended up on the hook for like $700. So, let's see. Let's get a couple of these calls. Colin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey.
What's up?
Got a couple of lines for the anthem, if you don't mind.
The Portland Anthem. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll give you my little melody to them, too.
All right.
There we go. Hold on. Let me...
Gotta get in the zone. All right.
Yeah, so you're here, and you better get used to it. No, that wasn't the way I wanted it to go.
Really? You don't say?
I totally lost that.
No, you covered it well. I don't understand. So this is... Okay, so you are not just giving it the lyrics. You're singing them in what you believe might be a good melody.
Yeah, well...
Let's try it again.
Try it again.
We'll just wait.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you're here. Yeah, you better get used to it. Now it's not going to happen. Sorry. I gave it a shot.
Thank you. Fantastic. Well done, sir. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Colin.
Oh.
I like how he just embraced his failure right away. He's like,
I just don't understand how, you're here, you better get used to it.
It sounds like...
That's just Portland.
Seriously, it sounds like some sort of a Buddhist meditation. All right.
You didn't have a bad voice.
Gary, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Best show ever.
Well, we do our best. How can I help you, sir?
I have a line and possibly the hook for the song.
All right, well, you can't be any worse than the last guy. No offense to Colin, but, he just choked. He just choked straight out of the gate. All right, what do you got?
If you're looking for a place to call home, well, Portland works for me.
Portland works for me. Oh, wait. Now, see, that's I was going to disparage that because I was going to say, my first thought was, well, that's not much of a compliment. It works. That's like, you know, how do you love your wife? Well, she works for me. She works. You know, that sounds like she'll do. But that's sort of a play on the city that works.
City that works, right.
Portland works for me. And then it's also kind of an endorsement of the government, that the government is here to help. Portland works for me. If you're looking, what is the first line?
If you're looking for a place to call home.
Portland works for me. Sarah?
I'm staying out of this.
Oh, I see. I know what that means.
Hey, it's not bad. I can't come up with anything any better.
Yeah, I got nothing. All right.
I didn't sing it.
No, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, I don't know whether that would have made it better or worse. All right. If you're looking for a place to go home, Portland works for me. Gary. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
All right. There you go. That's Gary. All right. Let's do Ryan, and then we'll break. We'll come back to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rick, was going to call in yesterday about your big conversation about, dropping the grain and the rice and all that in the desert for the people.
I'm sorry, say it one more time. Your phone sucks.
Yeah, that's singular.
Attention advertisers.
You remember yesterday when you were talking about they were dropping grain in the middle of the desert for all the people for,
yes,
like, food drops?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I remember when we first entered Iraq, in this war of ours, they were dropping food supplies for the people who, because they were the big, unrest in the country.
Yes.
Well, they were dropping stuff that was like American food, so they had Pop-Tarts in the packages and
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
Well, I remember reading an article, and I think it was in Willamette Weekly, where they actually had reporters who interviewed some of the people who got the food drops, and they had one guy who said he opened up the Pop-Tarts and he didn't know what it was, so he fed it to his camel.
Well, at least the camels are going to be happy then. I guess if you lived your entire life just eating sticks and twigs, and then suddenly you get like a big box of crisp sandwiches, yeah, I guess you might not really know what those are. That is a fair point. So, all right. How could, they're missing out though. Really, Pop-Tarts are American culture at its finest. So we are.
It's pure sugar and bread. I don't know how you can go wrong.
That's what makes this country great. This country runs on sugar and bread, my friend. All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
That's Ryan. All right. Final song submission for this hour. Then we'll move on. Rick, here's my opening for the Portland Anthem. You know, whenever somebody types a phrase like that, here's my opening, you know what I hear in my head? Is that, well, I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap. That's totally what I hear.
Jenny.
This is, yes. And now Jenny has traffic. You know, she has a Wikipedia entry now.
Really?
Yeah. It's not very long. It's like a paragraph. She's like, came to fame, came to prominence as the rapping traffic girl. This says, Rick, here's an opening for the Portland Anthem. This is from Rob. I love walking through my city with trees of green and skies of blue. There's a river running through it like a ribbon made of poo. You had me at poo, sir.
I saw a sign when I was running over the Hawthorne Bridge yesterday that said, sewage spill, stay away from water.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Right next to the Hawthorne Bridge.
Sewage spill. Don't touch water.
And it's funny how that just kind of stays out of the news. Like, I didn't hear anything about it yesterday. And the sign was there at the boat dock.
Think about what it says about a city when you can't let the water touch your skin. I mean, really, when you're not allowed to, if the river touches your skin, there's every chance you might die. What does that really say about us as a people? Let us break now, shall we? We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, later on. Scott Daly, top five, our hunt for the worst story in the history of the world, and we continue our search for the opening line to the Portland Anthem. Stay there. Rick Emerson Show, a Quinn Martin production. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. In just a few here, we'll go to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, who even as we speak is preparing a witch's cauldron of news and events for your edification. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Please spare me your fecal anecdotes about the river. I understand you can't touch it or let it get on your skin in any way. We've made the point, sir. All right, and so forth. Now, Jeff McGinley is gone. It's entirely possible. I hate to even say this out loud. Oh, no, it looks like line four is ringing. Okay. I was going to say, it's entirely possible that about half our phone lines just quit working spontaneously, like about an hour ago. Because, you know, just to keep life interesting. But it does appear that the bulk of them are actually operating properly at this point in time. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. Also, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will continue our hunt for the worst story in the history of the world. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. You really do need a theme song of some kind. Susan Reynolds, hello there.
I thought I had one. Or no, it was the it was like the newswire sound.
Oh yeah, well we had the What's Happening at CBS, which is where's the. That's also our breaking. That's our breaking news sound.
Right.
So you don't want to be. That's usually when someone's been shot somewhere.
No, we don't want that.
You don't want that. All right. Well, we're gonna find something. You just let us know if anything occurs to you.
Will do.
All right. So how are things? How's your how's your child? Said fired anything? Like
oh
that?
Yeah. How's the daughter?
Okay.
Your body language suggests otherwise.
I am pinched. You're clenched.
What happened?
Oh, nothing. We, you know, we just have the continuing challenge with grades and doing homework. And well, let's put it this way. I have a meeting at the school this afternoon.
Was that a meeting they requested?
No.
There
it was
we go.
A meeting I requested.
Fantastic. All right.
Anyway.
Anywho. All right. So we were talking about this big George Carlin announcement, which is sort of like a riddle wrapped inside a sweater. It's an announcement wrapped inside another announcement wrapped inside a thing. So as you know, George Carlin coming up Friday, May 4th. That is next Friday. That is a week from today. George Carlin at the Schnitzer Friday, May 4th, 8 p.m. And we are going to be, I'm not even sure how to really unveil this. So we are going to be giving away just a boatload of crap. So we've got 10 pairs of tickets and a George Carlin CD you're going to be giving away randomly to people. And we'll tell you how to do that in just a second. That's kind of the cool, larger part.
And, you know, I might add, because I have the tickets locked away in my office, they're good seats.
Yeah. No, they, I saw the ones that you had on your desk.
Yeah.
Those are not, because that place is like almost 3,000 people, right?
2,788.
Yes.
How do I know that?
It's the sound of a woman who has promoted many events in the past.
Anyway, yeah, these are really, really good seats.
Fantastic. Also, one lucky winner. I'm reading this directly off the CBS radio material, so you know it's real. One lucky winner will get upgraded to front row George Carlin and win a prize pack including George Carlin CDs and his book Napalm and Silly Putty. And I swear to God, isn't this a bunch of George Carlin CDs and a book and... Isn't there a VHS tape in there somewhere?
There is, and when I opened up the box itself, I said, what are we supposed to do with this? I honestly do not even have a VCR in my home anymore.
No, neither do I. Nobody does.
Right.
So they were cleaning out the George Carlin warehouse, and they just sent us all of these CDs and books, and then, like, have some VHS tapes.
Well, I thought we could use those for the time capsule.
Exactly, yes. All right. So, but the big news is that we have now, and this has been a long time in the making, so you go to 970.am right now, which you really ought to be doing regardless, because you can hit... We got the podcast that's up there every day now, the listener party photos, the greeting to Lisa Goddard, the party intro video, the Scotty J. Spelling Bee, links to, you know, the Likas homepage and the Stephanie Miller's homepage. All that stuff is up there right now. But the latest thing you can find, you go to 970.am right now. You scroll down about halfway and you look for a big, badass-looking logo that says Glorious Bastards on it. I got to tell you, man, we labored long and hard to find a name, to find some sort of moniker that fit the AM 970 audience. And really, Glorious Bastards, every time, we would just go up to random people in the hallway. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Dean Snyder. Or Dennis, one of
them. Dennis, I think.
I think it was Dennis Piesenbarger.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out the name, and we walked up to Dennis. We go, hey, Dennis, yeah? Would you join something called the Glorious Bastards? Hell yeah! And it's like he didn't even know what it was.
Right.
Like he had no idea what we were describing. I mean, it could have been a club where we come in and we kick you in the sack. He didn't even know.
He didn't care, though. He was all about it.
He just saw the logo and the name, Glorious Bastards. I'm there! So go to 970.am. You sign up, and it's like, man, we don't spam people with anything.
No. In fact, we will not be giving away your information or anything. We just want to keep people up to date on cool things that we have going on. And a lot of times, you'll get inside scoop. So,
and that's actually how we're going to be giving away these Carlin tickets as well. So that is the first big giveaway we're doing through the AM 970 Glorious Bastards, which is a phrase that I'm never going to get tired of saying, by the way.
Well, that's a good thing, because you're going to be saying it a lot.
Like 7,000 times. So go to 970.am right now. You sign up, and we're going to be giving away 10 pair of tickets and a George Carlin CD randomly to people who sign up to become an AM 970 Glorious Bastard. I feel like I need reverb or echo.
Or, no, or some kind of theme music for
the
that.
The George Patton theme, like a, you know, whatever that patent, that wasn't really the joy. That didn't really tend to underscore the hugeness of the theme. Just
no,
there.
That was a little weak. In fact.
And, thanks. And then one of those winners is going to get upgraded to front row seats and win a prize pack, including a bunch of George Carlin CDs. But more importantly, in the, like when we do listener parties in the future, we do something with this show. When Tom comes to town, we got other stuff to give away. Where
special
we're going to be
hook up for something or other.
Totally. We do other tickets for stuff. If we're going to be on location somewhere.
Once we get that song written, there will
once
be information.
Goddamn song written. Because at some point, and I want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you know when that song is done, when the Portland Anthem is finished, you know the next thing is video shoot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the next thing is a video staged somewhere in Portland, and that's going to be the way. Because we, you know, we have our website, and I send out email, and there's the MySpace and whatever, but this is going to be like the one definitive way to find out everything going on with the station. So go to 970.am and look for the AM 970 Glorious Bastards. Bastards logo. Sign up for that. Because on the immediate front, it's going to get you shot at George Carlin tickets, including front row. And in the long term, it's going to keep you up to speed with the station, as they say.
And I would say, you know, act quickly because the show is next Friday.
Totally.
So we've got to get you in there and get you in there quick.
That's the other thing. All right. Fantastic. Susan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Any words of wisdom to share before you go?
You know, I would say have a fantastic weekend. Okay.
And she's out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Jim Riley.
Esther Tran says homeowner Justin Auld, the homeowner who put a sign on his roof with an F-bomb on it, a sign that is clearly visible from the tram, may soon be hearing from the city. The large, professionally produced sign says, the tram, in large black letters against a white background. It's very tastefully done.
I'm looking at this right now, and it is huge. It's a huge sign, and it just says, except he uses the full profane word, he says, F the tram, in gigantic letters, and it's on the roof of his house. It's right there. Do you have the picture of it right there?
There's a picture of it right
there. Look at that. How great is that? What's his name?
His name is Justin Auld, A-U-L-D.
Justin Auld, the
good
Rick.
For him.
Seriously, the Rick Emerson Show salutes you, Justin Auld. That's if you know, if that guy wants to call in, I'm not really motivated enough to find him, but if that guy wants to call in, we will give him free reign to say whatever he wants to the city and about the tram. God bless that guy. Fantastic.
He says dissent is a healthy thing in a democracy. He said his beef with the tram is that he was told people would not be able to see down into his backyard.
Which they can.
But they can. And he calls it a violation of privacy.
See, and that's the thing. That's the point. That's what the city, because they're bastards, that's what the city doesn't understand or won't acknowledge or just is lying to, about this. Because the city's whole claim, and look, and I'm not opposed to the tram. I'm not some anti-tram nutcase. You know, whatever. I mean, I don't understand why if you work at OHSU, you can't just take the friggin' bus like everybody else.
There's no tram to my house to get here.
That's what I'm saying. But by the same token, whatever. I don't care. Not like it chaps my ass a whole lot or anything. So whatever. I don't care about the tram. But the city lied to this guy, and they said, hey, yeah, you know, the tram won't be able to see in your yard. No one on the tram will be able to see your house. And he said, really? And they said, yeah. And he said, I'm not sure. And they said, yeah. And he said, I'm skeptical. And they said, no, trust us. The city swore to God that no one would be able to see his house from the tram. And so he puts this sign on his roof that says, F the tram. And then people complain about it to the city. And his response, as it should be, his response is, well, wait a minute. I thought you swore to God that nobody would be able to see my house. If no one can see my house, how is it that people even know the sign is there to complain, you dicks? And the city just kind of goes, and then they just whine because they're inefficient bureaucratic nitwits, and that's what they do. So, screw them. Screw them, and that guy is fantastic.
We should get a tram car named after him, or perhaps a tram station.
We should name something.
Place like one of those crazy Indian names that they named it. Name it after him.
We should, I don't even know what we could, I feel like there's something we should do for that guy, but I don't even know.
We could send him some Krispy Kreme donuts or something.
Yeah. Maybe that should just be the opening line of the Portland song. Just F the tram. All right. Here's Tim. That guy is fantastic.
Tickets to Carlin.
We salute him. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I'll talk to Susan about that. I dig that guy. I like anybody who screws with the system. So, Justin Auld, God bless you, sir. The Rick Emerson Show salutes you.
Well, a Rainier couple was nearly crushed to death when a long truck tipped and spilled its load onto their house. It happened last night off Highway 30. More than a dozen logs, each weighing at least 2 to 3 tons, crashed into the house of Don and Mary Lou Jameson. They were sitting in the living room watching television just inches away when the first logs came crashing through. It was a miracle nobody was hurt, especially with the number of children playing outside at the time. They're always in the way. The driver also uninjured. So, it can destroy your home and your life.
So she was just sitting at home. Were these logs or the actual truck that came into her house?
The logs that rolled up.
Does this seem to be happening with greater frequency?
Yes, because this is a logging state.
But it's always been a logging state, but it doesn't seem like this happened a whole lot until the last 3, 4, 5 months. And now it seems like there's just logs crashing into cars and through houses and off cliffs. And
it's got to stop.
Killing people at the beach. We have a war on logs. That'll be the next thing. After we win the war on terror and the war on drugs, war on logs.
We could have a log watch and do the Ren and Stimpy song.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
Someone send me the log song now. Do it. Do it now. Send me the log song. Preferably as a wave, but I will accept MP3. Please not be sending me the log song. That is a great idea. In fact, it's such a great idea. Sarah Dillon, God bless you. You earned your keep for one more day. That's a great idea. It's such a great idea that we're going to do this whole story again later on today as a log watch. Fantastic. Hey, can we take Jim Roop at 12:50?
Sure.
Okay.
I see no reason why not.
Sure, Scotty. Tim Riley approves. We will take Jim Roop at, he's on assignment. Okay. So we'll take him at 12:50. Log watch. That's genius. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, there have been some people dancing in the streets on Northeast Alberta during something called Last Tuesday. Occasionally, officers deal with intoxicated individuals in this event. But last night, the crowd was larger than usual. Perhaps it was warm and a good night for street dancing. Around 10 o'clock, some of the individuals were seen walking in the street blocking traffic at Northeast 24th and Northeast Alberta. By about 10:30, 200 people were blocking the intersection, many intoxicated and dancing in public. So the police were instructed to go back to Northeast Precinct, pick up their helmets in case they were needed to quell a riot.
Is this that low-rent version of First Thursday?
Yeah, I believe so.
So what is Last Tuesday? Is it just you just sit on the curb?
I guess
and
you dance in the streets
and drink or something? Okay.
Let's see here. One of the officers used a taser to arrest one of the participants. As he did so, another male not involved in a fight attempted to get into the officer's patrol car parked nearby. Always a bad move, kids.
No, don't
get in the police
car. Don't get in the car. No. Let them put you in the car.
I know, some place like the Mercury might defend such an action. If they enjoy criminal action so much, and it's always somebody else's fault. Well, anyway, one of the two officers ran back to the patrol car and called for covers. The other officer placed his taser on the ground so he could handcuff the prisoner.
No.
And this fellow was identified as 22-year-old Ryan Hartman Parsons, some youngster. And then as the officer took control of this Hartman Parsons person, who has a hyphenated last name, he observed 30-year-old Joshua Hannon picking up his taser. Another bad thing to do, do not pick up the officer's taser, do not get in his car.
I mean, this is like concentric layers of stupid.
Yeah.
Let me pick up the cop's taser. Let me try to grab his gun out of his hand. What could possibly go wrong?
So the guy's told to drop a taser. He complies with the officer's request and drops it. The crowd increases and begins to throw bottles and scream at the police officers. Within a few minutes, enough officers arrive and secure the intersection.
Were these hippies just blocking the road for no reason?
Well, let's see here. I suppose so, because one has a hyphenated last name.
Yeah,
that's always trouble.
Sounds like a hippie to me.
They're taught to behave like they're better than everyone else without hyphenated last names.
Some of us, one name is good enough for some of us, friends. So what is...
isn't this a gentrified area?
Well,
we're talking about Northeast Alberta.
I think it's becoming.
And Northeast 24th.
Yeah, I think it's becoming lame. I do, lame and overpriced. Well, they got rid of my favorite, there's this great Jamaican restaurant there, which they got rid of, and, you know, I don't know, there's like a Tazo tea or something, or whatever it is, you know, like a pizza cotto, whatever it is they always replace my favorite restaurants with. Look, it's my favorite restaurant. Oh, it's now a Jamba Juice. I mean, everything great in this city eventually becomes a Jamba Juice. I mean, that's just sort of the way that it goes. So I guess this is like the hippies' last stand or whatever on Alberta.
Yeah, don't try to take the policeman's car, and don't try to take his taser.
And seriously, and just don't be a goddamn idiot. If a cop tells you to do something, if you have a problem, yeah, do it and shut your hole. Just shut your trap and complain about it later. If you have a problem, complain about it when he's not aiming a gun or a taser. And for the love of God, don't try to get into the police car and take it for a joyride somewhere. I'm just talking about simple self-preservation now. The love of sweet holy Christ.
May Day's coming, May 1st. We can only hope for peace. But their parade's only starting at 5.
See, I don't even remember.
Yeah, we've had some bad ones.
Did we have a riot last year on May Day?
No, we haven't had a riot in a few years.
Yeah.
I think the first year we were on the air, we had a riot.
The city is unmotivated. The kids just don't have any ambition anymore.
And what happened the year after that was all the TV stations are down there clearly outnumbering the protesters.
Yeah, it's all
and nobody wanted to trip over their cables that were laid out in the city streets so everybody stayed home.
Fantastic.
And then they were complaining about the lettuce at Taco Bell, which nobody cared about.
Who was complaining about the lettuce at Taco Bell?
The hippies. They said lettuce pickers weren't paid enough and therefore people should stop eating at Taco Bell. Of course that doesn't work. People want 99 cent tacos, and they want the lettuce pickers paid cheaply, so tacos remain 99 cents.
Let us eat somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Our casting agents are looking for bad girls, and they pick Portland as one of several cities for auditions because there's so many bad girls here in our fine city.
That is true.
The Bad Girls Club airs on Oxygen and is replaced by Boonam Murray.
How bad could they be if they're on
this
Oxygen?
This show is hilarious. No, I've only seen a couple of the episodes of last season, so much so where one of them gets drunk and chases the other girl around the house, and the other, like, they're throwing each other in the pools and punching each other and throwing chairs. It's funny.
I don't understand.
You love it. It's a bunch of hot, crazy girls trapped in a house together who are all trying to one-up each other to be more bad.
But I don't understand. Like, what is
when the girl gets spit in her mouth? When one girl spit at the other girl?
Yeah, they're spitting and, like, pulling each other's hair. This girl got thrown in the pool.
What's more American than that?
It's classic.
Okay, I guess what I don't understand, though, is, like, what is the premise of this? Like, okay, here's the thing.
It focuses on 20-something women living in a house together for 3 months. They do whatever they do. They get in trouble, out of trouble. They talk about serious issues with the other girls.
But this doesn't just happen in normal girl households, does it? I mean, despite my fantasies.
Like a girl house.
It's not like, yeah, but I mean, this isn't a thing that just happens in a normal girl house where girls just pillow fight and punch each other in the face. Why? Here's what I'm asking. And maybe I'm overanalyzing
a
show.
Reality programs cost less to make than sitcoms.
Okay, and I understand that. And Bonham Murray is the same group that made The Real World.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
The Simple Life.
And we are just spending a disproportionate amount of time for a show that's on Oxygen. And thus will be not watched by 98% of the audience. But I guess what I'm saying is,
that's the one with the Tory Spelling Show, I think.
Is it? Why are the girls behaving this way? Are these bad girls from the get-go? In other words, are they going to like a penitentiary and say, give us your worst. We're going to put them in a house filled with cameras.
They're softcore bad girls.
Yes, girls who got a lot in trouble a lot in high school, and some of them is.
Do they advertise for bad girls?
They're advertising for bad girls. It's a casting call.
Oh, wait, you know, I think I've actually got this in front of me now.
The filming starts in July or August for the second season of the Oxygen Network series, The Bad Girls Club 2. Trials will be held 4 to 8, April. Today.
I've got it. Okay, no.
What's going on today?
I've got it here. You can also email a bio and photo to submit at Danny Stoltz Casting. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Casting bad girls in their 20s who will be living in a big, beautiful house for 3 months. The type of girls who will do whatever they can to get their way. This is totally, seriously, do we have, like,
Do you want me to wire up, like, a secret microphone and then go there and try out?
Yes. I was just, well, totally.
Yes.
I was just thinking how perfect, like, all of your friends would be in this. I was thinking how any number, like, you could just do this show with all of Sarah's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just get Amanda, Lisa, and Kiki in a house together and get them all drunk. There you go. Good times. Can you drop my computer just a hair?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't this totally sounds like this ought to be a trailer for something
like this.
Some grindhouse film. Let's see, let me. except my voice would need to be, the compression would really need to be high in the microphone, like a... Casting bad girls in their 20s who will be living in a big, beautiful house for 3 months, beginning July or August. The type of girls who will do whatever they can to get their way out of trouble or have serious issues with other girls. Faced with a direct reflection of their own behavior, will they change or remain the same? The Bad Girls Club 2. A Quinn Martin production.
There you go. Fantastic.
That totally sounds like a bad grindhouse type film.
I'm surprised you're at car window stickers like they had the Bad Boys Club in the 80s.
Oh.
Bad Boy. I forgot all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ought to create Bad Girls Club merchandise.
You still see them on old pickup trucks in the back windows.
Oh, boy. But just some abandoned, like, and the guy's wearing Brian Bosworth Oakley shades.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Some guy, you know, he's got Nagel paintings on his wall at home. There ought to be Bad Girls Club merchandise. I mean, really, just the sales you could do to Sarah's friends alone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Do your friends ever punch each other?
No.
If they're coaxed.
If they're coaxed. Not that they would be.
You're weird.
I'm sorry. Was that too far?
I don't think I've seen them punch anybody.
That's too bad. I can see Kiki punching somebody.
Oh,
yeah. I can see Lisa punching somebody. I can see all your friends.
Yeah, Lisa, I think, is the scariest out of all my friends because she's really quiet and subdued, but I've seen that girl mad and...
She's like 100 feet tall, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
She's strong.
Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So if you want to protect your privacy in Oregon, it's best not to dip any clues in the garbage, especially if you have a methamphetamine lab.
Where should I get rid of this clue?
Mm-hmm. The Oregon Supreme Court has ruled that police are welcome to sift through your garbage after it's collected. And the Oregon High Court also noted that the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled the Fourth Amendment does not prohibit the police from searching your garbage after it was collected.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because that's the thing they always use for, like, when the Washington Post or somebody is, like, rooting for your trash or whatever, that it's public property. But that always seems wrong to me. That doesn't seem real. That seems like a... It seems like if you can't safely, you know, can't safely throw something in the trash, that seems anti-American. All right. Oh, hey, do we have the... Let me just check. See if this actually works.
All kids love log.
All right, fantastic.
So, I love that song.
So we totally have to do a log watch later. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So, let's talk to Alec Baldwin, shall we?
Can we?
He expressed the angry voicemail he recently left to his daughter on Today's View was, well, it was kind of wrong.
Call this little pig!
He said he thinks his frustration over his ex-wife, Kim's custody battle out on the wrong person.
My deep, deep, deep and seemingly endless frustration about the situation, which is complicated, led me to end up saying something to someone that I really meant to say to someone else.
It is the only time he's ever spoken that way.
I had never done that before in my life.
He's lying. Lying.
I had yelled at my daughter to watch out, you might get hit by a car on Central Park West. Right. You know what I mean? Or you're gonna get out of the riptide in the ocean. But I had never done this before in my life.
That was all so wrong.
Obviously, calling your child a pig or anything else is improper. And
inappropriate, really?
And I apologize to my daughter for that.
Oh, you know, that's the thing, the thing about that daughter, and I'm just saying this as just simply my observation, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, is that, how old is she, 12?
12.
You know, when she's 16, she's going to come home constantly, three sheets to the wind.
She would have had three kids by then.
I told three sheets to the wind, huge delinquent boyfriend. And Alec Baldwin's not going to be allowed to say crap to her. He is not going to be allowed to say, because you know that she has got, and Susan Reynolds, I'm sorry that you have to hear this, but you know this is true, that as soon as you do anything like that, not that Susan Reynolds has ever treated her daughter that way, but, you know, teenagers, especially teenage daughters, will just look for that one thing you did one time, and they will just hold that over your head, your entire, you know. And Alec Baldwin will be like, you can't come home, with the hockey team at 3 a.m. while drunk, you know. And then she will immediately go like, well, maybe if you hadn't called me a thoughtless little pig on television. I mean, that's it. Seriously. And that's
the best excuse ever. She's set for life.
Totally. She's going to be able to work that all the way until she's like 40. You know, he will have to pay for everything she wants for the next 30 years. Because it's got to suck to be her. You know that she's getting called a thoughtless little pig by every single person she goes to school with.
All the kids at school, yeah.
Oh, everybody.
Thoughtless little piggy. Ireland's a piggy.
I mean, it's, you know, like, it's not, you know, It's not bad enough that you got some weird, pudgy, you know, greasy-looking dad. All right, here's Tim Riley. And then we have to break.
We have two more from him.
Fantastic.
He says he has to be let out of his contract with NBC's 30 Rock.
I don't want those people to be negatively impacted and for them to be hurt by the situation. So I've asked NBC to let me out of my contract and let me leave the show.
So after calling his daughter a little pig, he now wants to live his life in a different way.
I want to say that I'm sorry to anyone that was offended by what happened. I'm sad about the way it all played out. And I have a dream in my heart, deep in my heart, to go out the store today and do something else with my life.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Where else would he be?
Nowhere. What did that guy say in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? One-way ticket to nowhere. No, because he already asked 30 Rock or NBC, like, hey, please, will you let me out of my contract? Always be letting me out of my contract. And they didn't even say no to him. They just said no in public. They said, we look forward to him continuing on the show as his contract requires. So he'll be going nowhere. All right, let's see, it's fantastic. 503-733-2970. Coming up, more from Tim Riley. Later on, Jim Roop. Log Watch, your phone calls. And we got lots of people waiting on hold here. And we'll talk about the Portland Anthem, our hunt for the second worst story ever, and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Show at 503-733-2970. Coming up here in just a skosh, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. We'll do our inaugural Log Watch. Log Watch. There's certain things I just enjoy saying in that pigs in space voice. I don't know why. Let me get a couple of the people have been waiting forever and a day. Let's see, what have I,
one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hello, George, how are you?
Rick, pretty good, yourself?
Hi, what's up?
Well, I got maybe a line or two for the song. Okay, and the wine that I reference in the song is the W-H-I-N-E, not the W-I-N-E. Okay, yeah, well, it rains here. Skies are gray, that much is clear. So cork that wine and open that beer.
I like to play in words. Cork that wine,
yeah,
and open that beer. It works if it's written, but I don't know. The lyrics might require some sort of explanation.
That's true. So you could always say, uncork that wine and open that beer, I suppose, and have a different turn on.
Then it just sounds like we're alcoholics.
Well, I am, so that works for me.
One big fiesta of illegal aliens and alcoholics.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I got an idea for the anthem here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go for the big sell and make a fool out of myself by singing this.
Okay. We're going to the last. Now, that worked out badly for the last guy, so.
I know. I'm hoping this will be a little bit better, but, you know, no guts, no glory.
Okay.
All right. Some folks call it P-Town, but I have to say that stinks. With the waterfront, the aerial tram, and Oaks Park Rotary Rink. We got so much to offer, why would you ever roam? When you live in Portland, Oregon, no other city could be home.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. I like the tune.
That's not bad. You know, well done, sir. That's not bad. I'm not
that was
sure.
To We Are the World.
I'm not sure about the stinks rinks part. I don't know that we want to have stinks in a song. But
especially in the first line.
Seriously, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold, and Scotty's going to get some information from you, because what we're going to do is, as we go through and we build this song line by line, some of the folks who submit lines that we use will end up being able to, they'll end up singing on the song with us. So the thing is, if we end up using one of your lines, whether it's this or whether it's later in the song, if we use your line, then you get to sing on the song. So, all right, I'm going to put you on hold, and Scotty, if you will get Greg's contact info, that'd be fantastic. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks.
Well done. That made me proud to be here.
It really, to put a tear in my eye.
Here's Tim Riley. All right, so let's get back to this. Radio personality Don Imus isn't the only one who lost his job over his so-called offensive comments. His producer, who was the more foul-mouthed of the two, got away with it for the longest time. Bernie McGurk spoke out for the first time on Hannity and Combs on Fox last night. And here's what he had to say.
At the time, it was just an abstract group of women. Of course, in retrospect, that wasn't the case. But, you know, then again, so the apologies, really? All of that legitimate and necessary. But again, then afterward, it took on a mob frenzy, a media frenzy.
Well, that's true. Again, as we've said before, I just don't know. Who do you root for here, really? Al Sharpton or Bernie McGurk? I just don't even really know.
All right. So that's that for him.
Well, so he's unemployed.
Yeah. So let's get on to this debate that nobody saw last night because I think it was on before anybody got home.
Seriously, it's like by the time I even turned on the television, like, and tonight's debate, which happened 100 hours ago, and it was already over. So, I mean, I don't feel bad that I didn't see it because nobody saw it.
All right, so we have a couple of sound bites, and we're going to give everybody a chance to speak here.
Right.
Here's Barack Obama with what he has to say.
I was in New Hampshire talking to a woman at a town hall meeting. She started crying, standing up saying, "I can't breathe. My nephew's been sent to Iraq." And when I listen to mothers and fathers all across the country, they are telling me it's time for us to come home.
You know, that's the most loathsome of all political tics is the... I met a woman who was a checkout clerk in Muncie, Indiana, and I asked her how her life was, and she said she was unable to pay the bills and had to sell one of her kidneys to keep her home. And I hate that. And I know I'm not saying it didn't really happen.
You've got to hear
more
of it.
I know. I'm just saying that the personal anecdote about, you know, the seamstress in Des Moines that some political candidate met while he was out on the road, I hate that. I hate that. All right. Well, it's fine. I'm over it now.
New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson said, if elected, this is how he'd spend his first 2 days in office.
The second day, I would plan a huge initiative on making America energy independent with an Apollo-like program to become more reliant on renewable fuels. I'd ask the American people to sacrifice in so doing.
On Apollo, like when Kennedy said, I'm a man on the moon, 10 years.
Yeah. And Americans will be asked to sacrifice.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
He will not be elected president anytime soon, but I think Dennis Miller hit it on the head this morning when he said that Bill Richardson is not running for president. Bill Richardson is running for vice president because he's from a swing state. He is Hispanic, and he has a good presence to him. And we don't know enough about him to dislike him. And Hillary Clinton, with a Hispanic running mate from a swing state, that's right there. Man, that would almost be a lock on the presidency right there.
And what do we do with Obama?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's assuming that Obama ends up, I don't know, whether he flames out somehow or whether they find a severed head in the trunk of his car or something. I don't know. But Bill Richardson, I mean, or Barack Obama and Bill Richardson. Like, that's the thing. If people decide that they're just not going to, if people decide that they just don't trust Hillary, you know, which, or if they decide that the upside of having Bill Clinton in the White House, again, is not worth the downside of having President Hillary, which is possible, you have Barack Obama running for president. I mean, how much would that screw with this country? You have a black man running for president and a Hispanic man running for vice president. I mean, it'd be great, but just think of the wrench that would throw into the mental spokes of every redneck in this country. I mean, we're doing just for that. Just to screw with my relatives, it's almost worth it.
Maybe we should invite them both to our next listener party.
I think that's a fantastic idea. That won't give any dirt to Barack Obama. That'll be at our listener party.
Well, here's somebody that people know of, John Edwards. He spoke about the U.S. tackling climate change.
We ought to invest in carbon sequestration technology, clean coal technology, $1 billion at least,
and make sure we
build the most fuel-efficient vehicles on the planet. And we all ask Americans to be patriotic about something other than war.
Well, that's a good quote. See, that clean coal is stupid, and no one knows what it means, and the people, and no one believes that it exists. And what is that carbon sequestration? Here's the thing that you got to understand: Americans right now are saying that they care about global warming because they've been told that they're supposed to care about it, but no one really does. And even if they really do, I don't really honestly believe that Americans care enough to really do anything about it.
I stop throwing away styrofoam cups.
That's about it. Well, you can't even buy styrofoam. Or you can, though, can't you? Hey,
go to the kitchen and get some.
I was just going to say, we have styrofoam cups here at CBS Radio, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We use them in abundance. And I just throw them right in the trash.
Yep.
I'm part of the problem.
Yep, you are.
Well, I'm over it now. I didn't think... Okay, wait, this is freaking me out.
But you use styrofoam cups?
I just... Yes.
They're everywhere.
Okay, but I thought... Okay, I got to stop and get a hold of myself here. I thought...
Mm-hmm.
I like that preemptively cynical grunt from the news desk. I thought... It just occurred to me now that those things I've been using in the kitchen here at CBS Radio Portland are styrofoam, because I thought we got rid of styrofoam cups in this state. I thought we voted to get rid of styrofoam in Oregon.
We may have.
Does anybody else know what I'm talking about?
That's not so. I bought some in the store not too long ago.
When is the last time you went to a restaurant here or fast food and they gave you something in a styrofoam cup? I think that's a law. I think that's by law.
I just bought styrofoam cup set for Admire not that long ago.
Am I just hallucinating this whole thing that happened a few years ago when we voted to stop using styrofoam in this state?
Maybe. I don't remember when that occurred.
Maybe it didn't occur.
It never stopped anyone, really.
Maybe I've gone mad. All right, well, in any event, I have not stopped throwing it. What am I supposed to do with styrofoam cups, then? If I'm not supposed
to... Set them on fire? Burn them with clean coal.
I mean, now I just, this is like the, oh God, my head hurts. This is like the, Africa conversation yesterday and helping the poor. What am I supposed to do with a styrofoam cup? What is the correct answer?
You drink things out of them.
I know, but then when I'm done.
You throw them away.
But that doesn't sound right. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, you wouldn't let them lie around. It would be litter.
I barely knew her.
Really, seriously, though. Okay, I go into the kitchen. I pour myself a cup of steaming cup of Joe into a styrofoam cup.
Mm-hmm.
I drink it. I finish it. I'm done with it. What am I supposed to do with the styrofoam cup, then? Does anybody know?
Throw it away.
No, okay, but see, you say that, and I've been doing that, but now that I say it out loud, it doesn't sound like that could possibly be the environmentally correct answer.
Well, then it becomes the janitor's problem.
Okay. Well, okay, as long as it's not my problem, I guess. That's really all I'm worried about. All right. Here's... I'm so confused. See, that's why I just don't care about it. It's so hard to care about the environment. It's constantly having to figure things out. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Hillary Clinton spoke, of course, and she did so eloquently.
We will fund our troops and protect them. We will limit the number of days that they can be deployed. And we will start to bring them home. And I think that is exactly what the American people want.
This all seems so gutless. It seems like if you're really opposed to the war, just close the purse and make Bush bring everybody home.
That's what they're trying to do, but he can veto that.
I get, but can't Congress just not authorize any more funding? I mean, they're trying to tie funding to an exit date. They're trying to say, well, look, you can have another $100 million, but in exchange for that, you got to, promise to be gone in a year. And then he vetoes that. Can't they just say, no, you can't have any more money?
We're going to veto that.
But see, I don't think that works that way. I think, only Lisa Goddard would know for sure, but I think that it's not that they have to vote to give him more money or to turn it off. I think it's that the money, every spending bill is only good for a certain amount of time, and they've got to authorize more every so often. So I feel like they can just turn it off, maybe. Or maybe
they can.
I don't really understand how this country works sometimes.
All right, it's Tim Riley. So here's another presidential candidate that no one ever heard of before. He is former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel. And he says, Mr. Gravel, that Congress should pass a law to make continuing the Iraq war illegal. Mr. Gravel.
I really would like to sit down with Pelosi and with Reid, and I would hope the other senators would focus on how do you get out? You pass a law, not a resolution, a law, making it a felony to stay there.
Gravel said some of his fellow Democrats frighten him, including Senator Joe Biden.
Well, I would say the top-tier ones. They've made statements. Oh, Joe, I'll include you, too. You have a certain arrogance. You want to tell the Iraqis how to run their country. I got to tell you, we should just plain get out.
Ooh, frightened by Joe Biden. Really? It's like being terrified by Jeff Daniels. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right. NBC anchor Brian Williams asked Biden if he would be less loquacious and gaffe-free if elected president.
Can you reassure voters in this country that you would have the discipline you would need on the world stage, Senator?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Ah, I guess.
Then we have Dennis Kucinich, who said, what did he say? Oh, health care for everyone.
Provides for universal, not-for-profit health care, takes that $2.2 trillion and puts it all into health care for people. We are already paying for a universal system of health care. We're just not getting it.
His time is up. Here's a milquetoast candidate. His name is Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd, who's also running for president.
Stateless terrorism is a multinational problem. It's a tactic. It requires a multinational response. This administration has walked away from that.
All right, these are all people who don't matter. You know what it is? This is like when you go to some rock festival, and there's like, and it's like, with the following, and it like says, you know,
very special guest.
Yeah, totally. Headliner, Rob Zombie, you know, with Korn and Tool and Chevelle and whatever. But then as the print gets smaller, like your interest in the bands gets smaller and smaller, and eventually it's like, guy who lives next door to you, dude we found at the Greyhound station, 20 minutes of silence, snow cone vendor, and it's like, oh, the point size is just minuscule, but they make it at the bottom. That's what Senator Gravel, who did sound kind of funny, Senator Gravel and Chris Dodd and all those guys, no one cares. No one cares in any way.
So the president stands firm on his promise to veto a war funding bill that cleared the House and the Senate this week. He said Democrats is sending a bad message, and they're trying to tell U.S. generals what to do.
I'm sorry it's come to this. I'm sorry that we've, you know, had this, you know, the issue evolved the way it has, but nevertheless, it is what it is, and it'll be vetoed, and my veto will be sustained.
It is what it is. That's the George W. Bush. Doesn't he have some brush to be clearing somewhere?
Some armadillos to be chasing.
Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey.
Well, I've enjoyed this little chat.
Hey, I got a line for the anthem.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's never forget, it's not the Willamette, it's a Willamette, goddammit.
I don't really know that including the Lord's name being taken in vain.
That part could be sung by like a Daryl Worley impersonator.
Let's never forget, it's not Willamette.
Actually, you know, when you sing it like that, it sounds almost like that country song with the guy saying, you know, about...
that thing where the guy's singing about the stuff?
Yeah, you know, Osama, and don't you remember...
that time in November.
Are you talking about Have You Forgotten?
How do you feel this call's working out today?
Oh, with a little help from my friends, I think I'm getting through.
You rehearsed all day.
I remember. That was great, sir. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye now. All right. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio in Los Angeles. Hello, sir. Hi, what's up? Hello, my friend. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you.
So, that crazy Phil.
Oh, goodness.
So, you were covering Phil Spector. Now, wait, by the way, before we get into this, so you were supposed to be on Nancy Grace last night.
Yeah, they changed direction. I told you, it wasn't solid yet, and they changed direction because of the Anna Nicole Smith baby thing.
Oh, now what is the... God, I can't believe I'm asking this question. What was the latest on that, I say, not caring a whit about the answer?
She...
Seriously, I couldn't...
The baby is leaving the Bahamas.
Oh, I see. So and it's going to wherever Larry Burkhead lives.
Yes.
Fire Island. Wherever. Wherever it is that he hangs out. 3 Mile. Whatever happened to the... Wait, what is it? What's at 3 Mile Island now?
What is... Well, I think they got it down to 2 miles now. I honestly don't know. I don't know what they have there anymore.
All right.
It's probably the same situation as Chernobyl, you know? Everybody's just
but there's just a lot
to
of...
ignore it.
a lot of signs all around it that say drive at 100 miles an hour for the next 14 miles.
Hold your breath, turn your lights on.
Yeah, seriously, please close all the vents and drive as fast as your car will go for the next 9 minutes.
That's
all right. You know, the thing about Anna Nicole Smith is I just don't care, but as soon as you, like, dangled in front of me that there was a little development, I just had to ask because I'm a completist by nature.
Well, that's why, you know, Phil Spector is not as important as that 5-year-old little girl.
Yes.
Or 5 months, however old she is.
I suppose. Do you suppose that he does his own makeup, or does he just, like, mash his face into a plate of cosmetics before coming to the courtroom every morning? Because he looks like, I mean, he kind of looks like that guy from Silence of the Lambs, the James Gum killer, but, like, as an 80-year-old woman, like, really badly applied rouge and wrinkles, you know?
Yeah, he does. It's like, I saw my mom once just with the first layer, whatever you call that.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
First layer of
just
makeup.
The foundation.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, foundation. And it was like, whoa, man, that's what she's going to look like when she's in the coffin.
He does look like an embalmed, effeminate version of himself. It's true. Is it, now, correct me if I'm wrong. This doesn't sound like it could possibly be true. Is it the Phil Spector's defense team, is it their assertion that this woman, Lana Clarkson, accidentally committed suicide?
Yeah, she was playing with a gun and accidentally discharged it somehow. That's what I call an accidental suicide. I got to tell you, though, their scientific, well, it's not evidence yet, but their game plan, because really every case, each side of every case looks good because they lay out this wonderful game plan and then they got to prove it all.
Right.
But their science seems compelling. The whole DNA thing, the fact that there was very little, if any, spatter, whether it be brain matter or blood on him, matter spatter.
Yeah.
you know, there was very little on him and on his left side, not his right, what little there was, and that most of it was on her. And the fact that her teeth blew out instead of chips of her teeth being in her, inside her mouth, because if you're going to force a gun in somebody's mouth, you have to force it in there. You're going to break some teeth.
Welcome to the lunch hour.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Her teeth blew out. That's the phrase.
I saw that photograph of her in that chair. Oh, good Lord.
Is it a whole lot of bad?
Yeah, it's a whole lot of bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and it really is a mess. And they're contentious about the crime scene being contaminated, if you will. Looks true, too, because even the taser wire that they used to take Phil down was underneath Clarkson's legs. And how that happened, it's hard to explain.
I don't know. I didn't know they tased him. Why did they have to tase him?
Well, yeah, he wouldn't put the gun down. When they arrived, first of all, he never called police. Or he says he did, but it was 40 minutes from the time that D'Souza, his limo driver, called 911 and the time that Phil contacted or came in confrontation with the police. They got there, and he wouldn't put the gun down. And so they had to take him down. They had to tase him. And so they use one of those, you know, you fire that thing with the wires on it, the
right.
Police, like, you know, they get into you. So they had to take him down. This little old guy, they had to take him down. That was 4 years ago. It might have been a little less feeble.
It's like taking down the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what got him shaken. That's why.
Seriously.
But yeah, there's a whole lot there that I didn't realize or had forgotten about that, you know, they sort of regurgitated in opening statements.
Here's a dumb question. How large does the shadow of the OJ case loom over every case like this?
This case, particularly larger than, say, Jackson, because it's a murder case, because it's a celebrity, because there's cameras in the courtroom. I think that's why there's similarities in that respect. And, of course, the claim of innocence.
Right.
I didn't do it. Phil, it, you know, continues to say he didn't do it. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all lays out. I think the prosecution has a real good case, but their witnesses are not first-hand witnesses. They're more witnesses to Phil's history than it is his... That particular incident, nobody saw that incident, and that's why the science may be able to at least put a reasonable doubt in at least one of the jurors' minds.
I want to see him convicted only because I want to see him without the wig. That's my whole thing. That was like at the end of the Jackson case, we were rooting for a guilty verdict simply because I wanted to see him wigless.
Yeah, you got to see that perp walk, yeah.
Oh, that's totally, it's like James Traficant when they sent that guy to jail, and suddenly he was without that huge toupee that he wore for the longest time. So.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, enjoy your Southern California weekend, and we will have speaks with you in the immediate future, sir.
I look forward to it. Have a good weekend, y'all.
Thank you, my friend James Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic.
There you go.
Rick, just don't buy styrofoam cups. Well, there you go. Use paper cups and a cardboard sleeve, the way that Stumptown and other retail outlets deal with the issue.
We don't buy them. We get them for free.
That's what I'm saying, buy. Really? Seriously. I'm only in radio for the free T-shirts and the coffee cups. The law, Tim Riley right now is drinking out of a Fox Sports Radio coffee tumbler. Here's a fun fact, by the way. So Fox Sports Radio, we're a Fox Sports Radio affiliate, and when we first signed up to carry Fox, we carry them in late nights and overnights, especially on the weekends. We signed up to carry Fox Sports Radio, and they send us a huge box of swag, you know, just like, keychains and coffee cups and whatever, just stuff to, you know, stuff that has a logo on it. They sent us a team of double XL, every one of them, because sports fans are spelt. Anyway, the law, I believe, only applies to retail use of styrofoam cups. Okay, that would explain why. Because remember, growing up at McDonald's, everything came in like that styrofoam clamshell thing.
What good is that, though?
I mean,
it's like no smoke at Mac stops. Like, that's been a big help.
Oh, yeah, which is, I mean, you go to Safeway and there's aisle after aisle of styrofoam goods. He says, maybe we need a cable TV program with hot women and edgy music to help Rick understand the issue. Sorry it's such a strain on your brain. Well, I am what I am, sir. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, back to the news, Dick Cheney vows to succeed in Iraq.
Only way for us to lose is to quit. But that's not an option. We will complete the mission and we will prevail.
It is an option. It is an option.
Never mind.
He's living in his own little bunker there.
Meanwhile, a sentencing date for a woman who crashed a number of weddings in Texas will be set. 31-year-old Robin Neefe pleaded guilty to defrauding guests at local weddings. She chose weddings to attend from newspaper listings and then stole the credit cards and other items from the bridal party purses as their owners participated in the wedding, like dancing and things. Authorities discovered 52 stolen credit cards she had used to purchase items. Neefe ruined what could have been one of the happiest occasions of local couples' lives. Wedding crashers are not actors in a movie, but real thieves. By pleading guilty, this woman is taking a step down the aisle of being accountable for her crimes.
This email says, Rick, my life is now complete. I am now a glorious bastard. Yeah, you can sign up for that at 970.am. He says,
okay, that's pretty funny.
What?
When you said I'm now a glorious bastard, now I see the humor in the title.
Yeah, no, it's great. I am now a glorious bastard. He says, also, what a picture. Sarah clutching Muppet to her womanly figure. He says, I think he's just trying to work in every catchphrase we have here. He says, that is hot as balls. Isn't that right, donkey? That's a phrase, I have to tell you, that's one of those phrases like jackhole. It's a phrase, combination of words that have never been put together before, but then you hear them and they're perfect. Like the first time I heard Adam Carolla say, that guy's a real jackhole. And I'd never heard that. It doesn't even mean anything. It's just words that had never been used before together. Like nuts and gum. Two things that had never been put together before. No, nuts like pine nuts. Anyway, but when Don Geronimo started describing Ashley Banfield as being hot as balls, which is just the best thing ever. I don't know why. Let's see. I got other stuff here. My email keeps crashing because I've got so many windows open, so I'm trying to close some stuff. Rick, here's the first lines to the Portland song. It may sound quite boring, just strip malls and whores. But this is why our city is better than yours. See, here's the thing. At a certain point, I think we're going to try to present this to the city, and saying goddamn or whores in the opening stanza, that may not win the favor of the city fathers. Now, look, I love whores and blasphemy as much as the next man, perhaps more. I'm just saying that we're trying to make a big tent here, so to speak. Here's Tim Riley.
I am a transsexual. The words of a veteran sports writer from the Los Angeles Times in his column. Yes, he's a transsexual. Mike Penner told readers of his struggle to embrace his gender and said that when he returns from vacation in a few weeks, he'll be known as Christine Daniels. He did not say whether he's having surgery or why he's simply changing his name. I am a transsexual sports writer, he wrote. It has taken more than 40 years, a million tears, and hundreds of hours of soul-wrenching therapy for me to work up the courage to take these words. The 49-year-old Penner said his brain has been wired for that of a female, and he's been trying to fight off that sinister urge to change sexes.
Well, you know, I got to give props to that guy because he's a sports writer in you know, and even in a rather cosmopolitan city like Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. That guy's got to be getting just a boatload full of hate mail.
Yeah.
So what is his name now? I mean, he's coming back as Christine.
Mike Penner.
And he's coming back as Christine?
Christine Daniels.
I wonder if that's like in honor of Christine Jorgensen. I wonder if that's a...
Well, that's a long-forgotten person.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just... the Christine Jorgensen. Because wasn't Christine Jorgensen's previous... Wasn't it Chris?
Yeah,
Christopher?
I think so.
Christopher Jorgensen then became Christine Jorgensen, sort of the first celebrated transsexual in America. So, I mean, it's even better that it's a sports writer. So, good for him. Well done.
So, from the newspaper, Mike Penner has been an exemplary contributor to the L.A. Times sports pages for over two decades, and today's column is no exception, writes Randy Harvey, the newspaper's sports editor. The decision to go public cannot be an easy one, and while we do not make a habit of commenting on the personal and private lives of our journalists, we do look forward to our continued relationship in the future.
Yeah, excellent. Well done, Christine. Rick, about your eating Chex Mix alone with the door shut, you are engaging in fat guy behavior. I've seen you. You're no fat guy. I close the door even when I eat salad. Fat guys eat alone. You are engaging in fat man behavior. It's true. This one just says about your Chex Mix. You are a sad, sad, pathetic little man. And it's just signed.
I'm not going to do little for long.
It's just signed, sad, sad, sad. The thing is, there's just at the risk of sounding even more like a girl than I typically do, I was just hating myself even as I ate the Chex Mix. It was sort of like that episode of... that episode of South Park where Cartman's at the fat camp and he's selling the chocolate friends to the kids, and the kid is eating the Snickers bar and he's just weeping helplessly. That was totally me as I was eating the Chex Mix yesterday, just filled with self-loathing as I was shoving every handful into my gullet. Hello. Hey, we're way ahead of schedule because we already talked to Jim Roop. Fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. What's coming up, you ask? Well, let me tell you. We got a top five. We got Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. We will have more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We will continue our search for the worst story in the history of the world, and we are looking for the perfect opening line for the Portland Anthem. Which will be written and recorded by the Rick Emerson Show and its listeners. So, anyway, all that continues around the corner. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Stay there. Back after this. Hello, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's Friday. And so forth. Coming up later on, we got... what the hell do we have? Well, we have Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Top five. Our hunt for the worst story in the history of the world. Sorry, a little bit of Scotty J. Scotty seem grumpy to you today?
No, you seem a little wacky. I think it's just you projecting onto everybody.
I am not grumpy at all, though.
You're not grumpy. I think you're just kind of wacky.
Define said wackiness. Please to explain.
You seem like you don't have your center today, which doesn't make it a bad show. You just seem a little...
I seem a little like I'm a little outside the line, coloring outside the lines a little bit today.
I just feel like there's something going on that you're not expressing.
No, not at all. No, and then you know all too well that if something was going on, I would express it. I would express it all over you at length. Whether you wanted to hear about it or not.
That just sounds really wrong.
I'd cover you in my expression. All over. No, you know what I'm saying. That it's like, that's always how this goes. You seem a little cranky. I'm not cranky. You seem cranky. I'm not cranky. You seem cranky. Fine! And then it all just comes out. I'm not at all, I will admit that I feel a little, not frazzled, that's the wrong word, but you're right. I do feel a little unfocused today. I think I just, I feel, here's how to describe it. And this is for fans of early 90s animation. I feel like I'm in squiggle vision today, if you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of what I feel like. I sort of feel like I'm drawn in squiggle vision. It's 503-733-2970. Once you shut your hole, Scotty. Oh, see, that sounded a little grumpy. Scotty has typed, how's your woodcock? And then he typed, it's called ADD. No, I have that all the time. I have that every day. Let's get some of these phone calls. People, we're trying to find the first line for this Portland anthem. We've had some good suggestions. Most of them are coming in via email. I will read some of those here in a while. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother man?
Yeah, Rick, I have a little verse for your deal. I seriously doubt that you're going to use it, but I'm going to put a disclaimer on it. It was written for humor value, not derogatory.
Uh-oh. Now, listen. Now, see, I was all ready to... Now, I want you to take just a second.
There's no curse words in it.
All right. But here's the thing. I want you to take just a second. I'm going to give you a few seconds just to ponder whether this is something you really feel you should say publicly. Hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere. I just want you to...
I think there's only one word that will bother people.
Okay, now see, you're not pondering. I'm going to play... This is the bed that signals that it's time for a quiet reflection upon one's inner voice and whether that voice should become an outer voice. Hang on a second. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. I'm not going to ponder anymore. Am I getting some Bernie McGurk song? All right, there we go. All right, Mike, now, have you pondered whether or not this is something you really want to say?
It rhymes with smears.
It rhymes with spears?
It rhymes with smears, beers, the word that would bother people.
Now, is this going to be a slur of some kind?
Not so much. It was
more for humor.
I
don't really think that's humorous.
It really sounds like it's going to be a slur, sir.
It wasn't meant to be.
Yes, well, let's just skip it, shall we?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. There you go. Fantastic. I mean, I let him ponder that like twice. He went into the ponder box like two different times for that. No. Seriously. All right. No, I'm not even going to say... No, I'm just going to move on. Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick. I have a submission.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Does it rhyme with... I don't know. Does it rhyme with...
No. It's okay. Everything's fine. You don't even need to have your hand near the button.
I can't even figure out a joke. I was trying to think of something horrific that I could rhyme something with.
Yeah, no dump button needed.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Does it rhyme with other trucker?
No.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
If you live in Portland, there's a lot of things to do, from water skiing, the Willamette, and visiting the zoo, or seeing the beautiful bridges from the tram view. Landmarks are as plentiful as raindrops on your shoes. So come and play in Portland, any day is fine. Meet the friendly natives while sipping local wine. Portland, Oregon, we're proud to call it home. Portland, Oregon, we're happy to make it home.
Well done. Thank you, Terry. God bless you. That's I can't talk today. What is the melody? Is that the Rocky Top, Tennessee?
I think so.
All right. How long did it take you to compose that?
About 10 minutes.
Well, no, I would say that it sounds like it took at least 12. So here.
Oh, is it got the suck factor of 6 in?
I never, Sarah. Come on. My defense. At no point did I say that it sucked.
No, absolutely not.
The suck factor. No,
it was a real toe tapper.
It really was. Terry, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty's going to get your name and your number, and we'll kind of put that into the hopper, as it were.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Terry. All right. 503-733-2970. And see how she was able to do that without using some sort of slur? We can all learn from this. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
When are we going to have the inaugural log watch?
How about this? Punkers, pirates, nudie bars, stickers, plaster, backs of cars. Rose City, cool tattoos. We're sucking down the microbrews. We're really going to have to work hard to make this something that's presentable to the city government, because we're really not a publicly acceptable people, most of the time. You've got a strange smile on your face over there. Is there something amusing going on that you're not sharing with the group?
Do you ever have random people's MySpace profiles that you look at, and you don't really have any association with them, but...
No.
Never mind.
Okay, I'm just...
There's this weird guy that I used to know once upon a time, and he likes to write, porny stories about him and his girlfriend.
Porny.
And it
Rick, it rhymes with porny now.
No, it's completely disgusting. So I sent it to my friend so that she could have the torture.
When you say it's a guy, it's like a former friend of yours?
It's somebody that I know.
When you say porny stories, is this true accounts of things that he and his girlfriend have done?
I think he'd probably like it to be true.
Oh, these are fantasies, explicit fantasies he's written about him and his lady friend.
Oh, it's basically these two enormous people who write about all this dirty sex they have.
People of size.
And it's just so wrong.
They have all...
And they're like writing sexy comments back and forth. Oh, like, that's how it is, baby. Like, I can't live with this alone. I've got to forward it.
So having a lot of hefty sex.
Oh, man. I'm like trying to be all sexy, and these are like enormous people.
That's fantastic. And then he's posting it on the blog?
Yeah, he wrote a blog. Oh, it's just so
crazy.
About
all the hot things I have in my girlfriend.
No, this guy who's so full of himself, he just thinks he's just like
full,
this
full
rough
of food
and tough.
Too, for the sound of it.
Oh, yeah, you should hear the descriptive terms when he describes his anatomy.
Two large people writing porn stories back and forth to each other. Isn't that right, baby? Oh, fantastic. Well done.
I don't think, I won't even show it to you. It's like, so wrong.
Like two polar bears on a Craftmatic.
Oh, man.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. And we're just taking random calls, I guess, here, just because I'm not motivated enough to do anything else in this next 3 minutes until we get a break. Troy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, you were talking about the styrofoam cups. I believe what they did was they banned the CFCs, which is something in the styrofoam. So they just make it differently now.
Oh, I see. So it's not actually, the styrofoam itself. It's a specific kind of styrofoam.
Exactly. And kind of like, I don't know if you remember with the aerosol deodorant.
I do.
And now they use like butane or propane for a propellant. It was the same stuff.
Butane. So you can dry your underarms and start a forest fire at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, yes,
I guess so. Anyway, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Are you sending me the hefty sex story?
I sent it to you right now, and I sent the comments, too, because she wrote...
God.
Oh, it's...
This email says, hey, about that singing lady who was on a couple minutes ago. Well, she sounded...
She was adorable.
She was adorable.
No, she put some time into that, and it rhymed.
This email just says, why do I have the feeling that while that lady was singing her song, Tim Riley had the same facial expression as he did at his old station when the lady was making giraffe noises?
Not true. I enjoyed that song.
Babs Williker.
Nope. Tim was bobbing his head up and down.
No, Tim was snappy and happy. And no. If I was driving my car, I'd keep the station on.
It was the Portland jingle everybody at work could agree on.
Mm-hmm. So the first comment underneath it is the other big girl.
Chris, mailman Chris has pointed this out. No. She was not singing to the tune of Rocky Top Tennessee. It was to the Davy Crockett theme. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. That's totally what she was. She was singing it to the Davy Crockett theme song. All right. Where did you send that? To my Rick Emerson or my other one?
Other one.
My other one that is only for hefty porn. My fat porn only account. Mm-hmm. All right, hold on.
I'm not judging him for being hefty. It's just it's so disturbing.
No, I have it. It's not here. Nope. I'm clicking refresh over and over.
I'll forward it to Rick Emerson.
Yeah, it's just not here, sadly. I wonder, is the subject line something like hefty porn? Because it's probably just ending up in my porn, my spam filter.
I put humping.
Humping.
I wrote people
Oh, here
humping.
We go.
Okay.
Fat people humping one out. I like that CBS Radio is paying me to sit here and read this email. Hey, fat people humping it out. That's what I swear to God, the subject line of this email says, fat people humping one out. Sweet God Almighty. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is...
It is disturbing. I'm like saying, it's not even funny. It's something you want to scrape out of your mind.
So these are... Let me just explain, in case you've just tuned into a rather disturbing segment of the Rick Emerson Show. This is some, quote, porny... homebrew porn writing. This is some homebrew porn writing done by two large people that Sarah knows.
I'm going to send you a picture of them.
And they... Thanks for that. And then they message each other. Then they write on each other's MySpace pages about how hot this porn story is. That is clearly about the two of them. Just picturing two people with big tusks. Her pink panties were still on. Oh, this is disgusting.
I know. Oh, God.
It starts off bad.
Can we play some music or something?
Do we have any porn music?
You can't read that on the air. There's nothing of that you can read.
Oh, that's not true. All I have is the walking in sunshine.
Don't be too detailed.
All I have is... Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure they can't possibly figure out... I'm sure that your friends can't possibly figure out who you're talking to. Do you have lots of fat friends that write porn stories back to each other?
We aren't even friends on MySpace. I haven't even seen him for a long time. It's one of those people I came across. I'm like, what's he doing?
I swear to God, I'm reading this. I'm going to have to edit it, obviously, as we go along. But this is this hideous, like, sex story that one of Sarah's hefty friends has written, starring another hefty friend.
Not a friend.
An acquaintance.
Yeah, an old acquaintance.
Her pink panties were still on. She won't remove them until I command her to. This is a well-adjusted couple. She tosses them at the floor at the foot of the bed. Then she tosses my underwear next to them.
Underwear.
Just picturing like a pair of briefs that say like 50 on the waist.
I sent you the picture too for visual effect.
I grab her throat gently and her skin turns red. Jesus God. That's one of those stories you expect the next line to be. The sound of my Hitachi chainsaw fills the room.
Are these more emails from the Portland Police Bureau?
Quote, are you scared of what I'm going to do to you? I tell her that maybe I'll choke her until she passes out. Jesus God. Really? This is horrible.
Can you see why?
He keeps... This is... Okay, he then begins an act of love with her. He begins some fat sex with her. And then it says, she keeps going like a good girl. And I swear to God, the final sentence in this dual fat person porn is, I swear on the life of my mother, this is the final line in the story. In this this sort of porn post that one of Sarah's acquaintances has written, starring him and a female friend. This is the final line in the porn story, I swear to God. As she gets up to go clean herself, she begins humming the Imperial March music from Star Wars. Because that happens all the time. Oh, God. And then I'm reading the comments. The comments following the story.
She's the top one.
Just watch out for the baby. We don't want your blank squishing it. Seriously, what the hell? Good God Almighty. Do you go to this blog a lot? Jesus Christ. This is horrible. Rick, is this story an entry for the second worst story ever? Jesus God, my ear goggles aren't helping. This is horrifying. I'm getting a lot of emails now that just say things like, what the hell? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's with you and Sarah getting all jolly with the girth and mirth sex fest? Come on. As she gets up to clean herself, she begins humming the Star Wars Imperial March theme. Jesus, God Almighty. All right. Her mounds of jiggly love. All right, we have to, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. To everybody, for everything. Did you send me a picture of them?
I sure did.
Oh, fantastic. And then, of course, I think I can't wait to see it. I don't even know why. Jesus God Almighty. Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, that's no good. You just called it fat.jpg. Thanks. Thanks for that. We'll be back after this.
this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. And then Sarah, and this is the last thing I'll say, Sarah has to follow it up with,
just imagine them slapping against each other. Which is horrifying.
I don't feel bad commenting about it, because if they're going to stick it out there for all the world to see, you'll have to comment.
Like the big pink waves of a fleshy ocean slapping against the shore. I can't even make the noise. I was trying to do like a... No, see, it's not squishy enough. It's not wet sounding enough. Just sort of a... Nah, it doesn't work either. Why are we trying to simulate the sound of fat people, their bodies touching each other? Or anyone. Let's just stop it.
Let's stop now.
Hey, here's a fun fact. Remember we had that guy, and I called BS on him, but that guy who claimed that he was a closed captioner for porn films for the deaf? We had this conversation, and he eventually convinced me that he was on the up and up, on the level, as they used to say. He actually sent me the transcript of some closed captioning he had to do for a softcore Playboy porn film a while back. And it really is hilarious. I might post it on the website one of these days, but it's like it is the transcript to a Playboy softcore porn film closed captioning session. And it's all just a lot of, she groans, oh yes, ah. You know, it just goes on page after page of that. In just like 10 seconds, we'll go to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and we got the top five later on. Scott Daly, our hunt for the worst story in the history of the world. Let's see, what else? Rick, song intro. Okay, he says this. Rick, here is the intro to the Portland Anthem. It's not the first line, though. This is an intro. Feel free to rewrite, reinterpret, and whatnot. I guess this guy, this is Rob, says that this is not the actual first line of the song, which is actually what we're really looking for, but this is an intro. It says, Detroit's got Motown, but lots of unemployment. In L.A., they sit and park on freeways for enjoyment. All New Yorkers like to do is talk about New York. And everyone in Texas is a stupid, boastful jerk. Denver's smoggy, Frisco's foggy, Phoenix is too bland. There's just one place I choose to live, the greatest city in the land. And then there'll be like, I guess the actual song begins there. It's not bad. We're still, I think you lose a point and a half for saying Frisco. But we're still looking for the actual opening line of the song. So we appreciate your suggestions there. I do have a feeling, and people have pointed out that this is going to take like 100 years to get done. Since we've done like 4 days now, and we haven't come up with the first line of the freaking song, I think once we get the first line done, the rest comes faster. That's all I'm saying. I think that once we get the first line done, I think the rest flows a lot more naturally. So that's all I'm... So the only point I'm making. All right, top five here just to go. He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hey, how would you like to take your dog into a restaurant? Well, the Salem Democrat is sponsoring a bill that would make that so. Representative Brian Clem comes his testimony. My dog goes to work with me. He sleeps next to me. He eats dinner near me. He even brought in a picture of his beloved dog, Uji. Well, I love dogs, love them, says Gail Shilby of the Oregon Public Health Division. But they don't belong in restaurants.
Well, now, they used to have dogs down on the... What is it, the Esplanade or whatever that thing is, down there by the river? And then some dick complained to the health department. And then it was like outdoors, and it was out on the patio. And, you didn't have to be there. You didn't have to be around them. Mm-hmm. But then somebody complained, and you can't do that. So I'm unclear about whether in Portland you can have a dog area. I mean, you have to be zoned for it specially or something. It's like they do at the Lucky Lab, restaurant. Yeah. So
that's outside. A pooch patron must be well-behaved and on a leash. Restaurants would also be allowed to discriminate within breeds, so pit bulls would be a rare sight. Well, that's a good thing.
Interesting. All right. Well, so maybe that'll happen. I guess maybe it's just indoors that you can't have dogs in Portland. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a high school senior has been arrested for writing an essay deemed disturbing and inappropriate. Alan Lee of Cary, Illinois, arrested this week after penning an essay in creative writing class. It reads in part... Blood, sex, and booze. Drugs, drugs, drugs are fun. Stab, 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 puke.
So I had this dream last night that I went into a building, pulled out two P90s, and started shooting and had sex with the dead bodies. Well, not really, but it would be funny if I did.
Who can disagree with that? Okay.
In creative writing, you're told to exaggerate, says the young man. It was supposed to be just junk. There definitely is violent content, but they're taking it out of context and making it something it wasn't.
In what context do you suppose killing people and having sex with their corpses and saying stab, 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 puke would make sense and not be crazy sounding?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so don't write that
at all.
At all. Ever.
A serious disease is killing Iowa honeybees. Now it's spread to 24 other states. Apparently, the PNP Honey Company has already lost 3/4 of its hives from last year.
I've lost 3/4. I need more hives. I've lost 3/4 of my hives from last year. Something must be done.
This is called the colony collapse disorder. It began in the U.S. a year and a half ago, starting out in Pennsylvania. Experts in Great Britain believe it might be caused by cell phone radiation.
That's such a bunch of crap. They can't just start blaming cell phones for everything that goes...
They can't find their way back, and it's all the fault of the cell phone.
Why would it only affect bees? That doesn't even make any sense.
I don't know.
They claim that cell phones give you cancer and that they crash airplanes. Those aren't true either. It's also not true that cell phones cause immolation at gas stations, which is the other thing the British are always claiming that cell phones cause.
Meanwhile, the principal of Lincoln High School in Southwest sent an email this week urging parents to prevent their children from wearing a controversial T-shirt to school. The shirt reads... Free Alex DeFranco, a reference to a Lincoln student who pled guilty to providing drugs to a recent graduate who overdosed on cocaine and died. DeFranco was sentenced to a year in jail and will begin his sentence after graduating this June. The principal describes the T-shirts as disruptive. They always say that.
Well, that's what they always say, because that's the only way that they... If you read, and I bet it's still written the same way now, if you read your high school handbook, it says that the school will, you know, has the right to prohibit any clothing, hairstyle, dress, etc., that is disruptive to the educational process. And so that's... It's like how if the government doesn't want to tell you something, they just claim that it's a national security issue. Well, the president can't reveal that. It's a matter of national security, which is always a load. That's always just a big lie.
What color is our national security alert at now?
I have no idea.
Do we still have that?
I don't know. I'm guessing yellow.
All right.
Wait, is yellow...
Yellow is kind of bad.
What's the one right before we're all going to die? Because that one's red.
That would be red.
Okay, but what's the one right before we're all going to die?
Blue?
I don't think so. I think blue means that we're all Republican.
Oh.
No, blue means we're all Democrat. I mangled that joke. You're right. I am off today. I think blue means that... yeah, I don't know. I have nothing. I don't know, but there's... There's red, which is... Red is like when the missiles are falling, right? Isn't that like when you turn on the TV...
Or when the pilot is sitting on the missile as it's speaking toward her.
Totally. Slim fingers.
Waving his cowboy hat.
Right there as it falls out of the Bombay doors. Red is the thing you see on television right as your hair is catching on fire. from the napalm that is raining down on your house. There's something right below... right before stage red, and that stage... I don't know. I have no idea. And I much less know what it is right now. Well, let's just say it's at yellow. I don't really know what it means. And let's claim we're at stage yellow. Anyway, so they always claim that the president can't reveal something because of national security, which is just a cop-out. And that's what they always claim at school. If they don't want kids to express themselves in some way that the nitwit principal, who was always just an ass. I mean, the principal, and don't even get me started, vice principals are even worse. Vice principals are far worse than principals.
Well, they're the executioners.
That's exactly it. The vice principal does all the dirty work. And see, it was the same when you went to school.
Yes.
It was the same when I went to school. It's the same now. I haven't been in a high school for 15 years. But I'll guarantee you it's the same. The principal is just sort of this figurehead that only appears at PTA meetings, and he has his face on the brochure that they send out. Exactly. The vice principal... It's always either just some bitter crone of a woman or some fat guy with a moe haircut. He's always the guy that drags you in and just yells at you for thinking a little too much. It's like if two girls that decide they want to go to the prom together, or some boy wants to have pink hair and a dress, or they want to wear a shirt that says free whoever this kid is, free the DeFranco family, or whatever the T-shirt said, they always claim that it's a disruption. So, and where is this? Lincoln High School?
Yes.
And that's the one... Lincoln's not the one in St. John's, is it?
No, Lincoln's the one with all the good kids in it.
What's the one in St. John's?
That would be Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Where somebody was stabbed on the tennis court a couple days ago.
Well done. Wait, that's a little bit of local color is what that is.
I know that because I'm I'm an investor in that area.
How's that panning out for you? For you, I would be investing in hospitals.
I have a very high fence surrounding my property. It works very well.
Invest in cyclone fencing.
Good gates make good neighbors.
I'm just going to be investing in landmines. So these are just idiot white children or whatever at Lincoln High?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. All I'm saying is just one of you, and I'm all for children disrupting the educational process. So just go read up on Tinker.
Well, there's no educational process going on.
Well, no, but I mean, look, let's all just be honest. High schools are just there to keep kids off the street. School is there in general. And I'm not trying to knock teachers. I know it always comes out that way. Teachers are given an impossible job. They are given an impossible job, not enough money, not enough supplies. The government orders teachers to do things and then doesn't give them the funding to do it. Teachers are sort of, you know what it is? Teachers are very much like our troops in Iraq. Teachers in the American public school system are like the American military in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sent over to do something that is fundamentally impossible, not given enough supplies, not given enough money, not given enough support, constantly yelled at by a public for the failure to accomplish something that they were never properly equipped to accomplish in the first place. And in the end, it's pointless because everybody that you're dealing with is probably stupid and hopeless anyway. So that's kind of the deal. All I'm saying is I am for children disrupting the educational process because schools are just there to keep you off the street until you're 18 and to keep you from smashing out the windows at the candy store or rumbling with the shark.
As it should be.
Exactly. So, because I'm an adult, I now have... The funny thing is, as soon as you hit 18, you immediately join that group. But yes, keep the little bastards off the streets. But if you are one of the little bastards, I would just encourage you... I'm just going to give you just one small little phrase. And that phrase is Tinker versus Des Moines. That's it. If you're a high school student right now, especially at wherever the hell this is, Lincoln High School, Tinker versus Des Moines. That's all I'm going to say. You just use that and go about your business. All right.
Paul McCartney is ranked third in the annual list of Britain's richest musical figures. He is worth $1.4 billion. That's down $200 million from last year due to the estimated cost of his upcoming divorce from Heather Mills. You know who's number one? A name you never heard before. His name is Clive Calder. He's the former Zomba Records label boss whose acts included Britney Spears and NSYNC. He's at the top of the list with $2.6 billion. Andrew Lloyd Webber, second place, $1.5 billion. The composer had a good year thanks to his role as producer of the revival of The Sound of Music, which was chosen to be a reality television program over in Britain. Also on the list...
How could The Sound of Music be a reality program?
I don't know. Why not?
Nazis are going to chase you across the Alps. Go. I don't understand what that is. You have to hide in a graveyard while Rolf searches for you with a gun.
There'll be an American version soon enough, I would imagine.
I guess. That just doesn't make any sense.
The list also includes Simon Fuller... Madonna and her husband Guy Ritchie, Elton John, Mick Jagger, entertainment entrepreneur. I didn't know this guy was still alive. Robert Stigwood from the 70s.
Really? Yeah. I thought he was dead a long time.
Nope, he's still alive. Tom Jones?
Oh, it's not unusual.
Yeah, he's be on that list.
Oh, no, he's way alive. He's very alive. He's huge over there. He's just sort of a shticky, kind of a niche, wacky guy. You know, he's sort of a kook. He's sort of a novelty act. But over there, they just love him. They dig him over there. He's like Robbie Williams. One of those guys can't get arrested here, but they love him there.
And Keith Richards.
And, of course, and Keith Richards. Did you hear his mom just died the other day?
What's he going to do with their body?
I was just going to say, what orifice is he going to jam his mom's remains into? Dave, we have multiple days. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I think the color you're looking for is orange. And, also...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Are you talking about the color code for the, you know...
Is this a movie doctor?
We're all gonna die.
Don't call up and say we're all gonna die. Oh, because of the terror alert.
Also, if you're not using your bike, I'm wondering, I'm looking for one. Can I have it?
We're losing your call, sir. No, we're losing your... Hello? Thank you. Frank, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Not much. Where's the strangest place you ever found Visa?
Is this the beginning of a joke?
No. I'm just asking a question.
Strangest place would be at the liquor store, which is across the street from CBS Radio. Across the street from us is a Plaid Pantry. There's the weirdest strip mall across the street from us. There's a Plaid Pantry, a House of David, a hair place, a laundromat,
I think I found a place that'll top all those.
I haven't even finished. Okay, go ahead. Fine.
All in Estacada.
Well, you
did. In Estacada.
For the win.
my daughter's Little League softball snack shack.
Really?
Sells Visa. I bought one yesterday.
Fantastic. So they
Raz flavor.
Because what you definitely want is kids to get all cranked up on sugar and caffeine.
Obviously.
All right. It sounds like you could use one right now, sir.
I've already taken a couple.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
That's Frank. All right. Isn't, you know, Viso has that flavor, that Raza flavor, which is like a passion fruit thing. And frankly, it's a little
too
sweet.
I don't like that one.
It's a little too sweet for me, but isn't a Raza, isn't that like a Spanish word for something?
Or it might be.
Isn't that what it, what's his name, Dave Navarro, didn't he say that on Rockstar Supernova, like, wasn't he like clenching his fist angrily and saying like, La Raza! You know, like, which is like right before you burn something down.
I never listened to him.
I don't know.
The other guy on that show, his tickets went on sale today like anybody cared.
Lucas Rossi?
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m.
I'm sure there are people wrapped around the building.
No. No, there aren't. We can probably get him in studio now. I was just going to say this. The strip mall across the street from us. There's a Plaid Pantry, a House of David haircutting place, a place that's just Vietnamese food, a liquor store, and then I swear to God, a Swedish massage place.
Yeah.
All right next door to each other. But they sell Viso at that liquor store over there. Rick, why don't you just have magical lyricist Scotty J write the Portland anthem? That's not a bad idea, actually. Scotty, you should be taking a crack. You should be trying your own hand at writing the Portland anthem. It really is true. This email just says, oh God, I found the fat sex. Rick, I found the fat sex online. I'm sure that message board is going to be popping any minute now. Not sure I wanted to. I like how he keeps referring to it as his...
That is it, then. I know exactly. You just have to say...
How he keeps referring to it as his fat blank. Maybe that makes him feel better. Don't squish the baby. That's all right.
Someone squished the baby.
They actually say that at one point. Be careful. You don't want to squish the baby with that thing.
With your blank.
I think you're with your fat thoughts. I think you're... all right. Here's... we got to do the log watch. Do we have the log story, Tim? We have to do our inaugural
log story.
Yeah, we're going to do it again, but with theme. Now with theme.
One moment, please.
All right. Just find that, and meanwhile, we'll...
I got the log story. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Rick Emerson Show's... And this is the best suggestion ever, Sarah. Well done. The Rick Emerson Show's inaugural log watch.
Well, over near, a couple was nearly crushed to death when a log truck tipped and spilled its load onto their house. Happened last night around Highway 30. More than a dozen logs, each weighing 2 to 3 tons, crashed into the home of Don and Mary Lou. They were sitting in their living room just inches where the first log came crashing through. Officers on the scene called it a miracle nobody was hurt, especially with the number of children playing outside at the time. The driver was uninjured also.
And is this... Okay, now, I misplayed. Is this because the truck... tipped, or the truck lost control, or the chain broke or something?
It doesn't say.
See, that's the scariest part, because there's dozens of ways in which one of those log trucks could
kill you. Because the last time that happened, it was a brake failure.
And as I've always noted, man, it is true that you only need one weak link on that chain. That chain that goes around the logs, and there's about 7,000 links on one of those log chains, and really just one of them going bad is enough. Suddenly, they're going to take you out with a dustbuster. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, the inaugural log watch.
Log from Blammo.
Thank you, sir. This email says, dogs in restaurants, why not? Kids are always either staring at you, yapping noisily, or making an ungodly smell. Why not my dog, indeed? Yes, sir. Why not? Let's do one call and then we'll break and we'll come back. Let's see. The hell am I doing here? This is James. Hi, sir.
Hey, Rick. Viso in Camas at the QFC.
Oh, excellent. So there's another Viso site in Camas at the QFC. There's a Viso sighting.
Yes.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Have a nice weekend.
There you go. You as well, my sir. My friend, thank you there. I appreciate it. Coming in about the Viso sightings in the fat porn. All right. I got this movie at home called Fatliners, and it's just it's women who are all 500 pounds plus.
Flatliners is a really good movie.
No, but Fatliners is not. You know who's in it? You know who the male star is?
Ron Jeremy?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's just a countdown. You know what I mean? In any porn film, it's a countdown until Ron Jeremy comes on the screen. See, he's right there. Look, it's Ron Jeremy. All right, it's 503-73, and large sections of it are female-female action, and that's unpleasant. Not in the abstract. I don't mean it's unpleasant in theory. I mean it's actually unpleasant in this movie called Fatliners. All right. I got to take that to that porn swap and get rid of it one of these days. All right, we should break here. We'll come back. Scott Daly, our hunt for the worst story ever, our hunt for the opening line, and at some point in the next hour, we'll have another visit from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We're going to be back after this. Don't go. Anyway. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Whenever I say that, I kind of sound like Hugh Hefner on that old Playboy's Penthouse show, which I think is out on DVD now. I got to go to Fry's tonight and buy that. All right. I just remember reading the thing the other day about that. I'm talking to myself, basically. I'm just having conversations in my own head about crap that no one else knows. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend Scott Daly. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm very tired this week. My wife, I love her to death. She's been playing the World of Warcraft for a good year now. So I finally buckled in, and now I am addicted to this game.
No.
It's true. I've been up until probably 12:30, 1 o'clock all week playing.
Look, here's the thing: you can't manage a loved one's addiction by joining the addiction yourself.
Well, I think she's getting a little annoyed because I'm keeping away from her time.
You can't look, Jared Leto. You can't get Jennifer Connelly off smack by sitting around with Marlon Wayans and doing it yourself. All right?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Next thing you know, you're going to end up in a bed with no arm, being beaten by a boss on a chain gang.
Thank you for that. That's just maybe the reality I need to fix this habit.
I'm just saying, it's gonna end up with you and Aaron ass to ass at a frat party somewhere, and you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Ass to ass.
That image. Appreciate that. I'm sure the audience thanks you too.
Well, that's what I do.
Lovely.
Picture that now.
No.
All right. All right. I got your new theme is going to be that Requiem overture. Welcome, Scott Daly. Dun, 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 dun. All right. World of Warcraft, huh?
Yes,
your
sir.
Wife at least plays it in her bra, which is hot. For you to do that's just sad. Seriously. I mean, it's hot that she does it because she's a chick, but
yeah.
World of Warcraft, first of all, let me just say this.
It's crap, man.
But here's the thing, though. I am really glad that role-playing games and sort of questy games don't appeal to me. Because here's the thing, I say this truthfully. It's like I have a friend of mine who I will not name. But I have a friend of mine who is, I don't really know her that well anymore, but she is... And I know this sounds dumb, but she is very much a recreational user of cocaine.
Okay.
In that, and I have seen this, where she will go 6, 7, 8, 9 months and not do it. And then, like, she would be out on a, out with somebody or out at a party or whatever, and somebody would have it, and she'd be like, fine. And then just not do it again for another year. She was that 1,000 person you hear about that would do coke and have no problem and just not do it again for like another 18 months and then whatever. But of course, she's like the freakish exception to the rule, right? So I am kind of like that, though, with stuff like World of Warcraft. I have no... I absolutely know that I could play that and then have no problem quitting because role-playing games don't hold any appeal to me. But the people who are really... The people who those get a hold on to, they... Your wife's going to end up selling her house.
The kids will be in the forest starving.
True. No, this is another true story. And I'm only warning you about this because we care about you. This is another... I'm warning you about this. This is an absolutely true story. There is... And she's not very much a friend, but she's a friend of Lara's. Lara had a friend... I won't use her name, but it's a true story. She has a girlfriend of hers, a female friend of hers in Salt Lake City, who got into playing EverQuest back, and EverQuest was sort of the World of Warcraft of 10 years ago.
Okay.
This girl got into playing EverQuest. It sounds dumb, but man, she stopped going to work. She stopped. She was going to college. She quit going to college.
Oh.
She was in a relationship with somebody. They had kids together. Her partner ended up, like, leaving her, taking the kids. She got kicked out of the house. I mean, she ended up having to live in squalor with, like, four other people. She did was play EverQuest all day.
Wow.
And so... I'm just saying,
I
understand. With your wife, now it's both of you. Pretty soon you guys are just going to be sitting around in your own filth, and the kid's going to be crawling around in a bunch of broken bottles and cans.
Yeah, if you guys are both addicted, that probably doesn't sound very good.
No, we are in complete control of our addiction.
Uh-huh.
We don't play until the kids are in bed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we have the few nights a week where we just don't play at all. So we've got it worked out. It's all right.
Now, how many hours in the past week would you say you've spent playing World of Warcraft?
God, I shouldn't have brought this up. 8 to 10.
10 hours in the last week?
Yes.
In the last 5 days? That's such a lie.
No, it's true.
Because if you're up till 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning, that's not you starting at 11.
It's 100% true. I generally get on about 10 o'clock. I do. I swear on my mother,
So that's like 2-3 hours a night.
Yeah.
So that's like a good 20 hours a week.
All
right
my
there.
Responsibilities are done. You know, nothing's going on. You know,
all right.
Our stories.
What's your character's name? What's your character's name in World of Warcraft?
Wrathseed.
Wrathseed?
You are such a fool. What kind of creature is he?
He's a level. Currently, I just made. Oh God. See, I'm not really into role-playing games either. I never got into D&D.
Yeah, but now you have a character with the name Wrathseed.
Yes, I do.
Would you like some of my Wrathseed, Sarah?
I'm afraid my Wrathseed.
No, I was thinking I have to sow my Wrathseed everywhere.
I am a level 29. I just made 29 the other day. Level 29 Drunai Warrior.
Such a loser.
Yeah.
What kind of creature? Is that a human?
What's the best way to describe it?
Oh, God. Does he have horns?
I can't believe he has.
He has horns.
And cow legs.
Really?
But he's badass, man.
He has cow legs?
And a tail. But he's totally badass, I'm telling you.
You're like 40.
I know.
Wait, so how is he badass? What does he look like besides the cow legs?
I don't know. He's got a lot of armor, and he's got blue glowing eyes and kind of a light blue skin, and it's pretty cool.
I know that we're starting like a whole, we're uncorking a whole thing.
Yes,
here.
I'm afraid we are.
But I mean, now in World of Warcraft, is it like a battle game where you like fight other people? Or
you can. There's the PV player versus player world. We can go in and you know, kind of go in against other players and risk getting just destroyed by other players, or you can go play against the computer where you go into different cities, different worlds, and pick up quests to up your level a little bit. You've got professions, like I'm a miner and a blacksmith, so I can make my own weapons and make my own armor. I'm first aid, so I'm trained in first aid, so I can make healing potions.
You realize it's a video game, right?
It's an amazing video game. I'm telling you.
I'm a miner.
It's a complete world. I mean, it's
not a world.
It
You're
is.
Sitting there in a room by yourself staring at a computer screen. That's not a world.
Well, it truly is. There's continents, there's maps, you've got to open flight paths if you want to go to another part of the world. It's
Are
almost
you sitting
in real
in your chair
time.
In front of your computer?
Yes, Sarah Dillon, that's correct.
I'm just sitting right here.
Wrathseed.
My name is Wrathseed. Oh, fantastic. All right.
It's good times.
Uh-huh.
It's good times.
Okay.
It's great because my best friend who lives in L.A., Dave, I mean, we rarely talk.
Is it a real friend?
Yes,
or
it is.
Or is like a cyber...
Have you ever seen?
Have you ever met him?
No, we've been friends for a long time. We moved to L.A. a few years back.
What's your wife's name on there?
Is your friend's middle name?
I'd rather not say at this point.
Is your friend's middle name At?
No, my best. It's meant. Aaron's met Dave.
All right.
Okay.
You don't have
Dave.
To convince me. I believe you have
okay.
friends.
All right. What I'm saying though is Dave.
Not Scott Deli. We're
Dave only comes up.
Yeah, you're Rath Seed from now on.
All right.
Rath Seed.
Yes.
You're talking about a magical world that you go flying in, and you have special powers to heal people.
I can't heal people. I can make bandages and stuff to heal myself after coming out of a battle with like a big black widow spider or something, and zombies. I was fighting this one zombie the other day, and after I killed him, he had two flesh-eating worms that kept attacking me. So I had to kill the worms.
Life
too.
Is hard.
I'm sure the guys attacked by a flesh-eating worm.
I'm sure the villagers in Afghanistan are really sad about the flesh-eating zombie worm that attack you.
Some guy have sucks, man. Keep going. You think you're done? And keep on going.
Moving on. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally picked up line one, which mysteriously started working. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, how's it going? I, too, was addicted to EverQuest, and I had a friend of mine who was worse off than I was.
Uh-huh.
And he wound up, I mean, he quit his job, lost his house, you know, everything that you were describing. And when he finally wound up quitting was when he had a stroke at the computer.
Great, really? Thanks, dude.
Fantastic.
I mean, Scott, it's a lot of fun, man, but I'm telling you, it is a really dangerous thing. It's like heroin. I mean, before I got married, my wife made me get rid of all my characters, and I hated her for it, but you know what? It's better now. I mean, I'm glad that I don't do it anymore. It sucks. I mean, I went to a doctor who was in a support group for that.
Oh, my God.
Wow, I kid you. I mean, the guy that I went to go see to get, like, some pills to make me feel better about this, that was a problem. It was really weird. I mean, it's a real thing. Run away.
I will say this. I will let everybody think that I'm being a dick about this. I will say, I went through a phase where all I did was play Quake. There's this game Quake that was out years ago. It's sort of it came after Doom, but before Halo. And I played Quake all day, every day for about 6 weeks of my life.
Wow.
That's all I did. And my friends and I. And this is how dumb. Steve, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I had a stroke while playing.
I need pills to get me off the game. This is how bad I had it, though. My friend and I had formed our own company, because we'd been fired from a radio station, and we had formed our own company.
Microsoft style?
Totally Microsoft style, exactly. The company ended up not really succeeding the way we'd wanted to, and that's hard to believe, because all we would do is go there and play Quake. And I swear to God, there were days, and we had, like, these loft offices and everything, and we would walk in like, okay, 8 o'clock a.m., we're here at this company that we've invested all of our money in. Let's play Quake. And we would turn on the computers at 8 o'clock, and there were days we would look up, and suddenly, 5:30.
Oh, yeah.
The whole business day gone, because we're using our intranet in the office, our broadband, to play Quake, to engage in death matches with each other, in like a mythical wizard world online.
I have to really kind of figure, I can't just sit down and log in and play for 10 minutes. If I'm sitting down to play, I've got a good hour or two ahead
clear
of me.
Clear all your schedule.
And then next thing you know, like the other night, I sat down like at 10:15 and started playing. Next thing I know, it's 12:30. Like, good God, man, I've got to be in Salem in 4 hours.
I am really glad that the role-playing games don't appeal to me, though, because I have kind of an addictive personality anyway.
Oh, Aaron totally says he's never going to play Warcraft because he knows the second he starts playing, he's done.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, it's not that I haven't tried. I actually have tried to play in the past, not recently, but I mean, over my life, I have tried to play sort of role-playing type games because, I don't know, they seemed like a thing that I should enjoy.
Yeah.
And I just never did.
I never really got into it either. It's really weird. When we first got Warcraft, I started playing it for a little bit, and then I was like, I'm done.
Right.
I just stopped, and then now I just...
Now, do you and your wife play in the same world?
No, we can't because we have the one account with the one computer. We have it on her Mac.
Right.
We tried it on PC before we got the Mac, and the PC it just chunk things up, so we don't. So luckily, we both don't have, you know, the connection, so one of us at a time.
I'm supposed to ask you about, you have a new skill for your character? And the blacksmithing skill?
I did.
You're a level 29 blacksmithing warrior?
I just became an expert miner. Oh, no, blacksmith, not quite yet. I've got a few more levels to get before I get to the next level of blacksmithing. All right.
Do you really feel when you say that you're accomplishing anything?
No, I don't. But you know what? I've got a full-time job.
But you're so into it, and you're acting... I know, but you're acting like it's some kind of accomplishment to be a blacksmith in a level 29 game.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Don't look at me.
I don't understand. Rick, make me understand.
I mean, look, I don't want to sit and pass judgment like I'm some jerk who doesn't understand it, because I totally do. I mean, but at the same time, again, I can look at it from the perspective of someone who doesn't enjoy it. I would never be addicted to that. I mean, I do sort of understand the appeal. I understand that. It's just a... I'm just glad that I'm not, you know...
If I was shirking all responsibilities, my job, my kids, my wife, my house, Film Fever Radio, this show, if I was shirking all responsibilities just to be home to play Warcraft, there'd be a problem. But I only log on, I only sit down when the kids are in bed. I've got no other responsibilities.
Sounds like you're rationalizing.
I am rationalizing.
A little too much over there.
So is this the first week that you've been playing?
No, it's not.
How long have you been playing for?
I'd say 2 or 3 weeks.
You're in the early stages of your addiction.
Yeah, this is really the first week I've really kind of been excited to get home and play. But only after the kids are in bed.
I can't wait to cut this workday short.
I am totally rationalizing it. That is true. But I do want to say that I only play when I'm...
You don't think it's us, Scott.
All right. I'm just saying.
James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. Did you tell them the name of your guild? The Lotus Operandi?
Is that the name of your guild?
Yes.
What's a guild?
That's a group of other nerds that get together and all form a group of nerds to go and perform raids and get better.
Yeah, like a gang, but for nerds?
You have to go down. There are certain quests where it requires you to group with other people, because going down in dungeons or stockades or things like that, you've got mines.
You have to wait for your other friends to be online?
I'm just curious as to how James knows about my guild.
There's actually Blizzard, the company that owns World of Warcraft, put out a website called it's the Armory.
Find a dork.
I can see all of your gear. I can see your skills. I can see that you use a Viking sword of stamina.
Really? A Viking sword of stamina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Phallic much?
Yeah, exactly. He does have some nice blues for level 29.
I was just
And what I want to tell you is, if you type /played in the chat log, it will tell you how much time you put in days.
Oh, really? That's scary.
I have 2 level 70s, and I've put in way more time than I even want to talk about.
It takes a long time to get to level 70, man.
Just stop playing.
That's the man inside the addiction.
I have 2 children. I'm still married, barely. And we'll kill you.
Will you send a link to that to Scott at filmfeverradio.com?
No. When you log in, that first little page it shows before you actually enter the game, there's a link there for the Armory.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, the worst thing I ever did...
My character's name is Carne Asada. I didn't go for anything.
Nice. I like that. That's awesome, man.
See, that's classy.
That's genius. The worst thing I ever did was tell everybody my Xbox Live handle, because I just got nerds the world over who would either go in and they would laugh at my ranking in Halo 2, or they would criticize me for not playing enough. Like, you know, we're sort of poking fun because you play a lot. I revealed my Xbox Live handle on the air, which I won't be doing again, by the way, so don't ask. But I would get these nerds that would log in and they go, you're a loser, you know, and then they would type something to me in like numbers and letters mixed together, some insult I couldn't read. E5, 9, 7 upside down ? Loser loot, you know, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, you know, you are not mad skills leap something. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Bear with me for 1 second. I'm actually logging into World of Warcraft, and I'll hit /play just to ruin Scott's idea that he can get away with just playing a little bit.
All right, okay.
I'll tell him how much I've actually put in. And this is just one of 270s.
You've got two level 70s, and it takes a long time to get one character to a level 70.
Yeah, that's over 2 years, though. I've been playing since it came out.
My wife just got to 58, so she's in Outlands now.
She's so much hotter than me now.
It's fantastic.
Okay, now this is real time, in actual minutes time played. 48 days, 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 39 seconds.
So that's 48 days of your life.
On one character of 2 level 70s.
Wow.
So, yes, stop now, Scott. I should stop now.
But we know you're not going to, James, because you just logged on, and there's the rest of your afternoon right there.
Hey, I'm at work.
Oh, see, thank God.
I'm
not. All right, bye now. Thanks.
I'm not putting that on my laptop.
Hell no.
James.
All right. We'll take a break. Back after this, 503-733. 2970. This is appropriate. We'll go into the break with this, Scott. Just so you can hear from some of your peers.
Fantastic.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's The Xbox Files. You stay there. Back after this.
Have you seen this game?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
The Booby Doctor is in.
King of the Hill.
I
Thank you.
Yeah.
One. Triple kill.
Sweet. Awesome.
Seconds to win.
Triple kill.
Did your balls drop and you're going to sound like that the rest of your life?
Triple kill,
she's tearing
up.
1 minute to win.
Oh, damn it.
Game over.
Oh.
Second place.
Oh, I told you I was good.
I like to call that game on.
The Mexican.
Right. But we can't say that.
What?
It's not confirmed.
We can't say Mexican?
No, that you can say. Oh, the context behind Mexican, we can't. It's not confirmed yet.
We should quit talking this.
Probably a good idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator. He's
and now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Something has to be done. A Dwallington family wants action after a school bus driver closed the school bus door on her daughter's leg and dragged her some 20 feet.
Oh.
The little girl is getting off the afternoon activity bus when her mother said the driver closed the door on her leg. Then with her leg sticking out the door, the driver drove off, dragging her daughter's foot on the pavement 60 feet. Some lady heard the girl screaming, and other drivers are waving to the bus to stop.
How did she not notice that there was a girl hanging out of the school bus?
That's the problem. The school district officials said they contacted the bus company, and they're investigating the incident. The girl's mom is frustrated because the bus company told her the driver won't be drug tested or fired. Apparently, let's see here.
Another reason not to send a kid to public schools.
Send him to a convent.
It's just
a good idea.
It seems like, I mean, look, I know that sometimes little incidents happen, but it seems like you'd notice if there was a child hanging out of your school bus or being dragged along the pavement.
Send them to a boarding school. They don't get to leave.
I suppose.
All right. Well, Richard Gere is trying to quell the storm over a public kiss that he gave to an Indian star. Gere's embrace and kiss to actress Shipla Shetty sparked noisy demonstrations by hardline Hindu groups and a flurry of legal complaints that ended with a judge in the northwest city of Jaipur issuing an arrest warrant for the two stars for violating obscenity laws.
For kissing?
Yeah, you can't kiss in India.
That's just retarded.
Well, it's a loveless country.
Of course. It's a people without zest.
Gary is confident the issue will be sorted out.
No wonder their tech support people are always so grumpy.
They can't kiss.
Seriously.
Hey, can you help me? Can you help me with my computer? I'm so unhappy.
Hold on, I gotta kiss my wife.
Stupid Americans!
Yeah.
That's why they're always asking me if the computer's plugged in. My computer won't work. Is it plugged in? Dumb Yankee! I cannot kiss! Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Hey, I got to talk to Scott just for a minute here.
Yes. Hello, Jim. Okay, I'll go amuse myself. Okay. Sure.
Yes, Scott, sir. Get away from now, for the love of God, get away from it now. You've already been sucked in enough. Realize you've been on hanging around the studio for how long now, and you haven't talked about Film Fever Radio or a film? I mean, look at it.
He's busy talking about his orc.
I have got in my hand a whole list of films to talk about.
Yeah, but okay.
And our show this week.
Okay. As a friend, Scott, I'm telling you, you're going to go into PvP, and then some character's going to come in and spill your ass seed all over the Warcraft world. I mean, for God's sake. Think about what was shown on South Park.
Think about the
what
children.
What those kids turned into.
Yeah, that episode was the best.
Yeah, I mean, get out of it now before it's too late.
Okay, I will take that advice. I appreciate you looking out for me, brother.
Thank you, sir. All right, and there you go. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Rick.
What's up?
You were just talking about that bus situation with the girl being drugged down the road.
Yes, we were.
And I just wanted to chime in and say, you know, the only fault of the public schools for that is contracting out the buses. They used to control the buses. They used to have control of the bus drivers. They don't anymore.
Well,
it's going on all over the place.
I don't understand. What do you mean it's a school bus? What's the first syllable in school bus?
Okay, you don't understand. It is school bus.
Yes, I'm an idiot.
The school bus
is
not. The school buses aren't owned by the schools anymore, believe it or not. They are owned by separate companies.
But the school has control of what companies they hire out.
Yeah. But they don't have control over the employees of those companies.
Dump the company, get a new one.
The employees, the companies, the school district should fire that company and hire a new company.
But that's control over the school buses, though.
Really?
If you have the power.
Let me just tell you, I can hear my brain turning off the longer we have this time. Can I just tell you, I don't care, really, in the grand scheme of things. Don't have children, not going to have children. Don't care.
Well, some of us do, but thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
On that note.
Thank you.
Let's solve the problems of our community together.
All right, I'm sorry. I know that I should have
Nobody's for dragging kids by school buses, obviously.
Are you supported?
Totally.
I don't know.
Answers.
I'm not. I'm not, but I'm saying... Who knows? Who knows what lurks in the hearts of men?
These children are going to commit the crimes in your neighborhood in the future.
I'm just saying, I tried to, look, I know that we're here to serve the community, blah, 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 and I should pretend.
As a public trustee.
Sure, whatever. And I should care. But it's so late in the day, and it's Friday, and I just couldn't muster up the energy to pretend that I
care about children Monday through Thursday, though.
Only on Fridays, Rick does not care about the children.
On Friday, we take a break from caring about
the future of this country.
Friday
the children are on their own.
Friday is, yes, Friday.
You latchkey children.
Friday is solve it your own self, children.
Friday, the day of apathy.
Yes.
That's all it is.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, I'm still here.
only you know for sure, Tim.
Well, since our last little visit, more bees have died.
Oh, all right.
We don't know.
Do you care about the bees, Rick?
No. Okay. No, screw the bees. Don't care about the children or the bees. Unless one is attacking the other.
Comedian hyphen actor hyphen writer Sarah Silverman will add another hosting entry to her resume. Where are the other ones?
Oh, God.
She'll emcee the MTV... Movie awards. Oh, those are the ones that get thrown in the dumpster.
Another
Universal thing.
Because I only had 50 reasons not to watch already.
Well, they're going
to
be broadcast live for the first time.
Isn't she a little old to be hosting the MTV? What is she hosting? The Video Music Awards or the Movie Awards?
The Movie Awards.
Nobody
That's
watches.
An older demographic.
I suppose, but I didn't think anybody really watched that show. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Mark Burnett produces this special.
Well, lucky me.
I like Sarah Silverman. I mean, she's really funny.
Because she's a girl, but she swears a lot. It's crazy. I just don't get what Sarah Silverman does that male comics haven't been doing for like 50 years. That seems to be the whole selling point.
She's not just a comedian, she's an actor and a writer.
Sure she is. That doesn't... It seems to be...
Yes,
or at least... yes, if... I'm sorry. I'm going to rate it in because I don't really even care enough about Sarah Silverman to be angry. I'm just saying the big selling point of Sarah Silverman seems to be that she won't take the garbage out. Sarah Silverman, I keep mangling her name here. The big selling
that's your problem.
The big selling point of Sarah Silverman seems to be that she is a really foul mouthed comedian. But it's like, but the only hook there seems to be that she's a woman. That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever heard her stand up?
I have, and it's just like, I don't know, and it seems to be like the same shtick over and over again, which is like the really innocent, wide-eyed setup. And then she says in a really innocent, like, big, doe-eyed tone of voice, she'll say something really horrific. And it's like, that just seems to be her thing over and over again. It's like Lisa Lampanelli's the same way. Where Lisa Lampanelli, who's not really all that funny, but who, like, seems to get all of this credit for being funny because, you know, because she does this sort of, like, racially charged material. And it's
just, I'm sorry, I brought
you just don't like chick comics, then.
No, it's not that I don't... It's not that I don't like chick comics. It's like Sarah Silverman does... her comedy only seems to be given credit because she is a woman. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like she just plays that card once too often.
Right.
That she's a sweet-looking, innocent girl who says things that are really profane. And it's like that gimmick only gets you so far with me.
Like,
it's like you got to be funny.
Words.
You got to be funny at a certain point.
Okay.
Like so.
Phil Stiller.
That's a woman.
That's a woman.
You're more like a Carol Channing. That's what we need. So, whatever. I mean, you know, fine. I mean, I suppose she can act. She was in School of Rock. She wasn't completely awful in that.
That her show on Comedy Central is very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
There are the women community going back in time.
Sure.
Joan Davis.
Let's look back now.
Olivia de Havilland? No, she doesn't count. Who else?
Marilyn Monroe's pretty funny, and
Marjorie Main. Marjorie Main. She's hilarious. Whatever happened to flappers? I don't even know what we're doing. It's Friday. I wish
we were talking about the safety of children.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound
from there to Marjorie Main.
I don't mean to sound disproportionately angry about Sarah Silverman. I just don't think she's that funny, and I think she gets a disproportionate amount of credit, largely because she's, I think, hooked up with Jimmy Kimmel, and I think that's where a lot of that comes from. I think she basks in the reflected glow of her boyfriend, who is a little bit of a power broker. People don't really know that because, you know, Jimmy Kimmel not only is a TV host, but he's also a producer. I think he produces the. I think he owns or owns a huge chunk of the Adam Carolla radio show.
He is the Alan Hamill of the 21st century.
Jimmy Kimmel is a little bit of a power broker in Hollywood. People don't really understand that about him, and I think that's where a lot of Sarah Silverman's. And every time I say Sarah Silverman, I want to say Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout from the Shel Silverstein thing. That's the problem. I need to quit saying words with S in it because they all seem to be messing me up today. Are you out of here, Tim?
I guess so.
Tim, I'll be back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, ladies and gentlemen. Greatest
room,
news,
I should say.
All over the world. There you go.
He'll have a fantastic
He'll
weekend.
Be walking down the hallway.
I may be out of the room, but I'm not off the air.
Not out of earshots. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Tim Riley will be back on your radio. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
I got a question. Is the reason that we're not coming up with a first lyric because we don't have a backbeat, if you will?
Because what? I'm sorry, we missed part of that.
Because we're missing a theme to our song.
When you say a theme, you mean a melody?
It was kind of a melody, or really just a bass line to start with, so that you know what the cadence for the...
I think this is God's...
Are you doing that on purpose?
Seriously. Rick.
I've seen it spies like us.
I have a cure for cancer. It's... And that's all you do, and you will live forever. By the way, Scarlett Johansson is having sex with everybody... You go there right now. Okay, what?
No, I'm not doing that on purpose.
Okay, try it one more time, sir.
All right, like a bass line or a drum beat so that we know what the cadence of the measures are supposed to be so we figure out what we're, you know, how you're supposed to rhyme it.
I would say that's less important. I mean, you come up with lyrics and we'll write something around. We'll do it Elton John style. Lyrics first and then we'll write around it.
Okay.
He's unconvinced. All right, sorry we didn't win you over. All right, there you go. You know the greatest thing? Don and Mike have that Rosie O'Donnell clip from Riding the Bus with My Sister where she goes, bye! And that's what they end their calls with. They were doing that all day yesterday.
And you're so mad that you didn't do it first.
I didn't do it first because they did all calls
that
all
was
day.
So great.
4 hours of
so
calls great. All they did. And they would end every call with that, bye! You know, of Rosie O'Donnell. It's just fantastic.
You couldn't pay me enough to call into that show. They just destroy callers.
Oh, well,
it's
if you're
so
not
great.
Funny, they'll just shred.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
All right. We didn't get to this worst story.
I've got a summer full of films to talk about.
Yeah.
We've got 12 sequels coming out this summer.
You saw Spider-Man 3.
I saw Spider-Man 3.
I'm not allowed
to say anything about it, but I'll have that reviewed next week.
All right.
There's 12 sequels coming out this
really?
Summer in 3 months.
You want to talk about them next Friday?
No.
Or do you want to sit and talk about World of Warcraft some more?
You choose.
You sit and talk about goblins?
There's no goblins.
Uh-huh.
There are blood elves, though.
Okay.
Oh, I do want to say this, that Film Fever Radio is going to be at the Powell's Bookstore in Beaverton on Tuesday the 1st at 7 p.m. Powell's is celebrating the 30th anniversary of Star Wars.
Really?
30 years. It's amazing. There's a book coming out called The Making of Star Wars. It's a book by J.W. Rinsler, and it's about kind of the inside story of the original Star Wars and how it was made, the behind the scenes, and everything Lucas went through. So the book is being released, and... there'll be a panel discussion with noted author Steve Perry, who wrote Shadows of the Empire, as well as Timothy Zahn, heir to the Empire. And Film Fever Radio is going to be there, talking to folks, and we're going to get an interview with two authors. So come by on Powell's Books and Beaverton on the 1st.
See, and I can pretend that I'm above such things, but I'm not. I can pretend that I'm better
be
than that, but
that'll
I'm
be
not.
That'll be Storchers and Star Wars Geek of Plenty.
I'm totally not.
It's going to be outstanding.
All right. We don't have time to do anything here, do we?
We don't.
Well, okay. That makes that easy. All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. My wife. Seriously.
I just don't know sometimes.
Are you just done?
Just a bunch of sometimes this whole show just is just, just so perplexing and strange. Even to me.
Back after this to wrap it up. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson show. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. We're here with Scott Galley from filmtheaterradio.com. I'm not even going to list the things we didn't get to because it's pointless. I have no time. Scott Galley, filmtheaterradio.com, what's there now?
Yes, we've got a brand new show up this, later on this afternoon. Aaron has a review of the third WWE-produced film, The Condemned, starring Steve Austin. No, not that one. The other, the wrestler.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made films.
Yeah, they do. And this is the third one. And we also do our summer box office prediction segment, where we predict the big dogs this summer.
All right.
And, again, don't forget we'll be at Powell's Beaverton on Tuesday the 1st, celebrating everything Star Wars.
And I would let you know that during one of the last segments, Sarah Dillon said, the best is when you smoke cigarettes while wearing the patch. You get a nice lightheaded feeling. So there you go. All right.
You know it's true.
I am. Well, Scotty's back
poor
on
Scotty,
the patch.
He is in such a horrible mood.
I meant to bring him in here.
Is that his deal today?
He's in a really, bad mood.
He just quit smoking.
Grumpy. Yeah. He's been real cranky today. I meant to bring him in here and yell at him.
Yeah, he did tell me during the break that he is hungover.
Really? Oh, I missed my chance to yell.
Yeah.
If he's hungover, that means
he's
drank.
Quiet. Quiet.
I bet he smoked. I bet he smoked.
Write this down for Monday.
Damn it. Damn it. Scotty.
He's probably feeling dirty inside.
Scotty, are you a dirty little boy?
No.
You need to... Well, I'm trying to think of a quote from the fat porn story to use. Do you need to be squished?
Nobody will know if you're actually quoting the fat porn.
Fat porn.
Oh.
Speaking of fat porn.
You know what I'm talking. No. Yeah,
I thought you meant fatliner.
No.
You meant my space friend.
We're done.
I'm on that note.
Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Southern State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, our intrepidive hungover PA, is Scotty J. Our gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Thanks to Scott Dowdy from FilmFeverRadio.com, Lisa Goddard, and Jim Roop. Don't forget Dennis Pitzenbarger tomorrow, 9 to 11. We'll be back Monday morning at 11 a.m. Until then, don't let the bastards grind you down, my friends, and please do try to help the retarded. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. We'll talk to you Monday. Bye now.